I thought it would be interesting to have our attorney explain why we just swore in two assembly members and we go back to a meeting with our old assembly members. Mr. Attorney?
Because state law says so. That's the short answer. Actually, Mr. Mayor, members of the assembly, members of the audience, state law actually does say that an assembly member starts a term on the first Monday following certification. The difference between the assemblies, and it also says the same thing for the mayor, and it says the mayor starts a term first Monday following certification of the election. With the assembly, state law allows the borough to change that date. That date can be changed by the borough assembly. They can specify when a term starts and could actually say that it starts on the day of certification. With the mayor, you cannot. State law does not have a provision that says, and if a borough wants to change that day, it can. So the mayor, every 3 years, the term must start on the following Monday. And so if we fast forward the clock to 2 years from now, the mayoral election and three assembly members, if you change the date that the assembly members take office on that election, you'd have assembly members getting elected and taking office on a different day than the mayor. And so the policy decision was made years ago to keep it all consistent, keep it all the same, and just to kind of follow state law and leave it on the following Monday.
Thank you. And for those that weren't here, we just completed the certification at the special meeting at 5 o'clock, so that doesn't become effective until next Monday. Mr. Salmon.
I just thought we did it so that Noel and Warren would get to have a meeting in the new digs.
Yeah, I think that the building was just serendipitous. We really weren't. Our plans were to have this building functioning months ago.
July.
Yeah, right, in July. So we will ask the clerk to bring us the roll call, please.
Warren Keogh, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Here.
Ronald Garvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Salmon, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
Vern Halter, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have the agenda before us. We have had a request to remove, and this was the manager on page 6. Item F on the consent agenda, that's resolution 13114, and the manager asked me to make it clear that if anybody's here that wants to speak to that, they'll still be able to speak to it under audience participation.
Just to clarify, Mr. Mayor, you're not saying remove it from the entire agenda. You're asking to get it removed from the consent agenda.
Entire
agenda. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
And we also had a request from Assemblymember Halter to remove the executive session.
Yes, I want to withdraw the executive session on the ferry. Thank you.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to pull item H on page 7.
We haven't asked if there's any objection to those both removals yet.
Oh, was there any objection to the two removals? Hearing none. Mr. Arvin.
Yeah, page 7, I'd like to pull item H for discussion.
Item A?
H.
H. Okay, resolution 13116. Okay. That's just to take it off the consent agenda.
Got it.
Any other intentions on the consent agenda? Assemblymember Keogh?
Perhaps an open question here for resolution item D, 13-112. We have an executive session planned for later in the evening regarding the ferry. I'm sorry?
I withdrew that. It's off.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
Pardon me. He didn't remove the consent agenda item, though. He removed the executive session. Right.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I'd like to pull item D, resolution 13-112.
Okay. Anything? Is there objection to that? Well, no, that's just taking it off the consent agenda. Assemblymember Woods?
Item I on page 7.
Item I on page 7.
Resolution 13117.
Yes.
Okay. Is that it? Anything else on the agenda? If there's no objections, that will be the orders of the day. Let's rise, and we'll ask Mr. Norcross to lead us in the pledge.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll do that all up here.
Yeah, yeah. Under the clerk's report.
Okay. Okay, we have minutes before us. There's rarely any complaints about that. I think there were some adjustments that were already taken care of, Madam Clerk.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, we did change the ferry discussion that happened on September 5th.
Right. And what's here reflects all that?
Correct.
Okay. We have special orders of the day. I've requested that Father Scott Joseph Garrett bless our new quarters here, but he was called out to perform last rites. I'm glad he's not performing last rites here, but his assistant Andrew Lee from the Sacred Heart Parish, and also serves in Big Lake and Willow, is going to lead us in invocation. So let's all rise again. And if you would step forward to this podium and press the button. You need to press the button so the mic comes on.
Okay, let's pray together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all creation, you are worthy of praise. You are the source of all that is good. You are the source of all of our blessings. Thank you for every gift that we have been given. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to gather together this day. As we gather today for this meeting, guide our minds and hearts so that we will work for the good of our community and help all your people. Teach us to be generous in our outlook, courageous in the face of difficulty, and wise in our decisions. You have chosen us to be your people. Help us to give you glory in everything we do. Bless this meeting and let it bring our people together. Help us to meet one another in joy and to gain many benefits from being here together. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Reports from cities. Mr. Wasilla. Actually, Mr. Cottle. Yeah, you just turned your mic off. Because it was already on. Sorry.
Okay. Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have just two items tonight for you. First is I had Madam City Clerk passed out an upcoming meeting, which will be at the Menard Sports Center on October 24th, starting at 10 a.m., getting over at 2 p.m. That's in cooperation with Goose Creek Correctional Facility, along with Mat-Su Health Regional Facility. Right now, their inmate count out there, counting the farm, is 1,324 inmates, and they're up at almost 300 staff. So they're going to do basically a roundtable discussion. Any questions you want to ask, that'd be a good time to be there to ask them. Borough-wide, we have just at 1,938 inmates borough-wide. We're at about 60% of all the jail population for the state of Alaska now resides within the borough. So this would be a good meeting for you to be at, if you have the time. Second item, final item, is our sales tax did pass for the construction of the library. Our sales tax will go into effect January 1st, 2014, and we project it will be 3 years, and we will have enough money in-house to build a new library unless we get funding out of state legislature over the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thank you. City of Palmer. City of Houston. Moving on to the school district. And while you're coming forward, Doctor, we have very much appreciated your hosting our meetings during all this time. And well, welcome,
thank you, Mr.
welcome
Mayor.
To our place.
And this is beautiful, so your new place is lovely. I just wanted to report that school is going well. We just finished our first quarter, so this is the start of the 10th week of school. We've had 9 weeks already. And just recently this morning, there was some news in regard to Anchorage School District falling under projection. So they're about 750 students under what they had budgeted for, which is causing some problems. I wanted to reassure you that we took a very slight increase of about 100 students, and we came in 200 over that. So your school district has 300 more students than last year. And every day, about 17,800 kids come to our 45 schools. So I wanted to reassure you. And since you are located in the wonderful city of Palmer, I wanted to just let you know that your football team, the Palmer Moose, are moving along. They upset South, and they play West this weekend. And your Palmer Moose, our Palmer Moose volleyball team, you will most likely see them at state as well. So things are good in the district. We really appreciate the work we've done together. And again, congratulations on a lovely place. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, so, Doctor, on the radio today, I heard them opining about where those 700 students went, and I tried to call in and mention that half of them moved out to the borough because yeah. The district out here is serving its public very well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Assemblymember Woods.
Okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Doctor. I was really impressed by the meeting last Monday and your reiteration of the convenience of the new football fields out there, and I'd like you to tell the public how those are coming along and what you expect. Thank you.
In regard to the building of all four fields have been completed, and that was, I know, a stickler point on the bond that went through a couple years ago that perhaps they weren't necessary. And, of course, the safety folks are here, so we wanted to say yay for safety. But we also built them so that we could bring folks out to the Valley. We didn't have an opportunity to bid on state events in football or track prior to this time because our fields did not meet ASA standards. They currently do. We have four fields that meet ASA standards, and Anchorage only has two, so we actually have more. Our guarantee to our community is that we will use those fields well, both in school and out. All of our gates are open. They are community fields. In fact, the first football team that played on the Wasilla field was a Pop Warner football team because it happened the Thursday before the first Friday game. And so that was a promise that we made, that they are for the community. And so we are going out to bid on state events to bring folks out here. But I wanted everyone to know that the most attended football game in the entire state of Alaska for the last, I don't know, at least 10 years, has not been a state event. It has been the Potato Bowl. And so over 4,000 folks attend the Potato Bowl, and that is more people at any one single football game in the entire state. And ASA folks and the referees try to bid, the Anchorage folks and Fairbanks folks try to bid that one game to come out to the Valley to be able to really referee in front of that type of crowd. And it's really, it was very positive. We have folks from different parts of our community come together and really celebrate our community and kids. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it was Very sweet that Palmer could go over for the ribbon cutting of the Wasilla field and win the potato bowl.
Yeah, that's kind of a sore spot, isn't it, Mr. Salmon?
Just for the record, I want to mention that wasn't so sweet.
Oh, it wasn't. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. It was sweet for a Palmer boy. So, we have the Septage Advisory Board, Mr. Healy. We should get an update on where we are.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. I'm Tom Healy. I'm the chair of the Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board. I'm also the recently appointed Public Works Director for the City of Palmer. So we've already covered football, I guess, but you're going to have to say go Moose to add a comment. Briefly, you have information in your packet on the activities of our advisory board in terms of resolutions. The board has been meeting diligently for 2 years and with very good attendance to address the issue of a regional septage facility as well as a possible regional wastewater facility. Most of our efforts thus far have been in we've passed some resolutions urging there be a kind of a site selection and a process to select a suitable site for this future facility. This facility has special kind of real estate and location needs. It needs to be close to where an outfall can go, convenient to the core area, and some other factors. So the kind of the site box where this can be is fairly limited, and the advisory board has identified a proposed area for the site. We've developed selection and ranking criteria for ranking various properties within that area, which the borough may be able to obtain. We've also requested funding for that the borough support funding for the acquisition of property, and we're pleased to see and thank the Assembly for their inclusion of a property acquisition, an amount for property acquisition for this project in your legislative priorities. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I would like to thank Mike Camfield and his staff and Public Works for their help and Assembly Member Woods for his assistance. He's been attending our meetings, and we've appreciated his input. So that's pretty much my report. Thank you.
We're curious to know that there was at least one Native corporation that was interested in that discussion. Did they come into the process during the site selection
Not process? That I'm aware of.
Okay.
And there may be negotiations going on that the board isn't privy to, but
okay.
I'm not familiar with
that. Well, I imagine that's still working through the works then, probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Any questions? Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Committee reports. The Joint School Board Committee, or was that canceled? There was? Mr. Woods?
There, yes.
You want to speak to that?
Most of the meeting was taken up by the presentation that the maintenance is going real well, the roof coverings, et cetera, that are coming along as expected, and the request was probably for as long as they're in the mood to keep going, why they would like some more bond money to support that effort, and if we can do it, that would be nice. But that was the major deal. I was especially interested in the fact that, as Dr. Paramo mentioned, that we have four of the statewide approved activity fields. So that's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Assembly Public Relations. Assemblymember Keogh.
I would just like to report that in the last couple of weeks I've attended two conferences. One was a law conference on oil, gas, and mining. The second was a conference on water. And I mentioned this in light of the resolution that's been pulled from the consent agenda regarding House Bill 77. This was a topic of discussion at both of these conferences. One conference advocating House Bill 77 be passed. The other, the consensus was to oppose it adamantly. It's an issue of water, and which we'll be discussing later. But I just wanted to pass that along, and I would recommend other assembly members in the future, if you have an opportunity to attend such law conferences, especially as they may affect the borough directly or indirectly, take advantage of that.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
Yeah, I just want to thank Patty Sullivan and Mr. Moosey for setting up that tour of Segment 6 of the Granite, the railroad spur line. We visited the Y up at Houston and how it's taken the railroad south. It's very impressive. Granite's, they're building a bridge across Little Sioux River when we were up there, and it's just very impressive to see the quality of the construction and how it's being done.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, it's your spot on the agenda.
Good evening. Today I had my second meeting. Staff had second meeting with the State Emergency Management Team, and together we're working on cooperating for opportunities for a joint emergency operations center. We are going to be looking in the future to sign a memorandum of understanding. And our first site we're going to be looking at for joint opportunities will be at the Alcanta property. So we've been very pleased with their willingness to work alongside. They have quite a bit of resources, and we want to be ready to go when emergency hits. And so we did receive some planning money, and we plan on spending that money wisely. But at this point in time, we don't have a direction for that. Also, this week we have some of our crew being Patty and Stefan and Don Dyer up at Fairbanks. Me with some folks looking for some customers for our rail and port. We think that's an opportunity right away. We want to be ready for rail service and port service when it's complete, as opposed to waiting until it's complete and starting to work. So I'm really pleased with the effort that they have going out. We want to make sure that we make full use of that rail spur when it's complete. And then the last thing I have to report is we're working at the City of Palmer, has discussions with staff about the France Road property. This is property is next to the landfill that was originally borough property and given to the City of Palmer for their own landfill. We don't think they want to be in the business, so we're looking at receiving that property back. As we expand the landfill, we need some trails replacement. That's a very heavily used area. So those discussions are going to be happening, and then we'll bring back any information to you. And last, under my report, is we have Mr. Walsh back regarding unpaved low-volume roads with a presentation. And you do have a handout on your table. It's on the overhead, and I think there's a few copies in the back as well.
Yes. I think we were promised this update after the project was completed and had been through the winter, so this is follow-up on a prior promise. Mr. Walsh.
Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to meet you in your new quarters. My name is Ken Walsh. I'm a civil engineer. My residence is Big Lake. And as already mentioned, this is the presentation of the final report on a project that was testing out some new design concepts for unpaved low-volume roads. And I'd like to introduce that with a brief review, which is up on the screen there now. The task we were charged with, or the task we had to accomplish, was to try to find a cost-effective way to build and repair some of our low-volume gravel roads that many of you have seen are in pretty awful shape. I've shown some examples here. The seriously bad roads, Concord, Coutina Drive, Spruce Court, these are roads that get severely flooded or get severely impaired because of soft soils, to the point where they're not travelable during portions of the year, primarily breakup. But if you go drive by Coutina Drive right now, you'll see that the road is identified with some fence posts along the side of the road. Between the fence posts is about 2 feet of water. So we've got problems year-round with some of these roads. Some of our roads are very easy to fix. Pikey's Drive, it looks like a terrible problem. It's an easy fix. We've got road maintenance that has problems. Jojoba Road, the picture there in the lower right-hand side, is a culvert pipe that's buried. I should have made a count, but a couple of days ago I drove through there, and I would say 20 to 30% of the new culverts that were put in last year are either plugged or in the process of plugging. So we're doing a lot of things wrong, and we need to find a way to try to improve that. That was the purpose of this study, was to try to find some ways to cost-effectively improve these bad roads. And we have on this slide, the upper right-hand corner, sort of a typical section of what the road cross-section that this study was based on looks like. The six pictures you see, I have to admit, these are my very best pictures of roads. They really show a nice road, and it is nice, but you're getting the best view here. The top three are during the summertime, after the test project construction had been completed. The next three pictures, we have all four seasons of the year shown. In the fall time, I got a picture of one of the fuel trucks driving down there. This was after about 2 weeks of rain. And you can see we've got a pretty stable road there. This is all on the test site, which was out at the call of the Wild Road. The center picture there on the bottom, obviously a winter scene, and then spring breakup on the lower right-hand corner. In the report itself, you'll not only get the pictures of the good-looking roads, but I've also included the worst road conditions in that report. So you do get the spectrum of at its best face and at its worst face. So it's there. Project support. You'll recall that many months ago I came to you and asked for a staff engineer from the borough to review the report. I really wasn't getting much participation from the borough, and I felt it was important that we have borough representation at least looking at this. Bob Walden was assigned to that task. I'd like to read what he said. I was frankly opposed to the original ideas, and after research and this case study, I'm happy with the results on the low-volume roads. And he goes on to say he looks forward to seeing this implemented in a staged, progressive, not too rapid a way, but to see us move on to the next steps with this project. As far as other support on the project, I want to thank Mayor DeVilbiss, Assemblyman Salmon in particular. We had some tough times with this report, and these guys stepped up and gave some encouragement. It wasn't whether the report would be good or bad. It was, it's something that ought to be done, and stick with it, and I appreciate that. I also had some reports from staff, a few folks that said, this is a good idea. We don't know if it'll work, but it's good to look at it and find out if it works. Probably my biggest disappointment was the RSA boards. They made a conscious decision not to participate in it, not to support it. It was extremely discouraging for me. They really are probably the important cog in the wheel for these low-volume gravel roads. Their involvement is critical. I made some probably poor attempts at a little bit of humor. I either had to do that or I had to get very angry, and I didn't want to get very angry. So I hope you'll take my comments in the way they were intended. I'm afraid, at least it's my feeling, that the action by the RSA boards really dampened staff participation, and that's a shame. An opportunity for first-hand knowledge witnessing of what was going on there during construction, seeing how it worked out, that was lost to the staff folks, and that's too bad. It's one of those things that we just have to deal with. So, you know, I think the project's great. We've got a lot of people who don't like this project. And the question is, are they right and I'm wrong? Well, I think you do need to look at the documentation. Most of that can be found in the final report. Driving performance, good. I invite you to come out there and take a look at it. Maintenance, since the project was completed over a year ago, we had one light maintenance grading occur. That road is in better shape than Puritan, which leads up to it, and it's in better shape than that portion of the Call of the Wild Road that is under a maintenance contract. So the maintenance, I think, performs well. Drainage is good. We have no standing water out there. We do have a few potholes after this summer's rain. They're small. They're not nearly the size of the potholes that we have on the rest of the road system out there. Geometric standards, one of the problems with the current subdivision design regulations is that it doesn't address the variances you have with geometric standards on existing road right-of-ways and in existing developed areas. So you've got curvature that's too tight. You've got constraints from environmental considerations, wetlands, subdivision buildup, that type of thing. That's an area in the construction standards that needs to be addressed, and currently it's not addressed. So what's next? We're still facing an uphill battle with this. I absolutely believe that unless the assembly helps to provide some encouragement, this thing is going to die on the vine. There's been an awful lot of work that's gone into it. I think the results are extremely promising. And I've got some specific requests I want to make of you folks this evening. The next slide, which is what's needed from the assembly, I'll give you just a minute to go ahead and read that.
Why don't you go ahead and read it for those that are on the radio?
All right, I'll be glad to do that. Two items. One is to authorize staff to utilize the design concepts for the low-volume road guidelines for use on several pilot projects. This is in here because a concern has been brought up by a few of the staff folks that under the current subdivision construction manual guidelines, they're not allowed to approve a road improvement that varies from those guidelines. And we have several items there that are variances from your current 1991 guidelines. So this is just a safety belt, if you will, to make sure that staff understands that the assembly has approved a variance from those subdivision standards. And that's the first request that I'm making of you for you to consider. The second one, request staff to begin the task of developing design standards based on the unpaved low-volume road design criteria, and this next phrase is important, for further consideration and possible adoption. There are standards that come with the design recommendations for this type of road that are definitely working well. There may be other standards that aren't working so well and that we want to give some second consideration to. One of them is cross drainage across the road and whether we're going to have an icing condition with that condition during the wintertime that just isn't acceptable. I think that needs to be looked at more. So it's none too soon for staff to become involved in helping to review, analyze this stuff, and begin to formulate some recommendations. So I'm hoping that the assembly will take action on those two items. I have one last slide that is kind of the reason I've stuck with this for a year and a half. This is where the fun is. We've got four proposed projects out there that are ready to go if we can get the approval to do them. And they represent a wide variety of conditions. The very easiest one is that one that's in the center top page, Call to the Wild. You see a little pond there next to a hill. That pond is there because currently you require roads to be graded with a V-shaped crown. And when you're on a side hill condition, the half of the road drains into the hill and the hill drains into the road and you've got a half a road width of water there. These potholes bring your traffic speed down to less than 5 miles an hour. We have dozens and dozens of these just in the Big Lake RSA alone. They can be fixed virtually for nothing. This can be fixed during normal grading operations where we get rid of that water and that gets rid of the potholes for the most part. You're still going to have potholes, but not near to the degree we have here. That's the easiest one, and it's a no-brainer. It's no dollars. Puritan Parkway is a low-cost fix. We have a lot of these. We got a pond of water across the road. It's an equalizer for two wetland areas. And I'm suggesting we put in a gravel drain system underneath that, about 20 feet wide, put a topping on it. That work can be done for $700 to $1,000. This concept was not tried out in the demonstration project. This would be the first time this particular approach was taken to the drainage, and I'd like to see it happen just to see how well it works. The most difficult one conceptually is Spruce Court. Spruce Court in the springtime has 2 feet of water on it. It's difficult to drive a car through there. It's about 600 feet of roadway. Conceptually, it's probably the most challenging project I have on this list. From the standpoint of fixing it, it's a pretty easy fix, about $8,000 to do that. And Cherrywood is a more expensive project, an easy fix, not too much challenging engineering-wise. But they are four projects that represent a spectrum of pilot projects that I hope we can get approval to do. So that ends my presentation. I do hope the Assembly will take action on those two requests, and I'm available for questions if you have any.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. A lot of your recommendations appear to a lot of us just to be common sense, but you ran into the castle wall, like we do it this way, and so we don't want to change. Is that what it sounds like? You are fighting against we already know what to do. Thank you very much.
That's a good characterization. I will say this. There are a lot of concepts in this design concept that we're not used to seeing. Building roads with higher silt content material, the crossroad drainage, there's a number of things that take some getting used to. And we're running into that battle, too. You know, it isn't how I used to do it.
Okay. My other question, would you be able to help us? I'd like to see you complete this work and draft a set of specifications. Would you mind continuing? I know, you've got a lot of effort here, but I'd like to see something become of this.
You know, if...
To work with staff and developing the actual verbiage so we can move it forward.
If we can make progress and if we can get a cooperative group to work with, people that are really interested in solving the problem, I'd be more than happy to work with you.
Well, if you drafted it, say how you like it, give it to us through the manager. We have a number of new folks in public works now that I'd like to give it to them and say, okay, let's see if we can make this work. I think you need to start with how you would like it to look like, and then we can analyze the compromises down the road.
You know, rather than commit to a specific group or an approach, if you could give me the latitude to work with the manager and figure out how best to get that information back to you, there's a risk when you do something yourself and you give it to a group that doesn't have ownership in it. And that really concerns me.
Okay. Well, Mr. Manager, would you... I appreciate it. This is a ton of work and it's very professional. I think we need to culminate this effort in something solid and usable. And can you work with Mr. Walsh to get him with appropriate people and move forward on this?
Yes.
Thank you. Assemblymember Woods.
Yes. I really like your position of going ahead and doing this. Some comments that I've heard on this is that it should be looked at for a period of years before we decide that this is actually the way we want to go. And with your discussion with people to do that, it certainly would take a few years to get done. And by that time, we could see if the road to the wild with the slopes going one way would really be the way to work. And your position of seeing that this is new territory and certainly subject to a lot of change, I agree with that. And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Assemblymember Halter.
These four proposed projects, which road service area are they in?
Which roads are what?
Which road service area are these? You got four proposed projects, Call the Wild, Spruce Court, Puritan. Which road service area are they
in? All of these road projects are within the Big Lake Service District. The Big Lake RSA has been the only RSA that has supported nominating some projects for the work.
They're certified roads under a maintenance contract?
These are all certified roads under maintenance contract right now, yes.
So why are you not going to the road service area and the maintenance contractor to correct these problems? Are they uncapitalists? Are they uncapitalists?
I would actually recommend that we use the maintenance contract, the optional maintenance provision of maintenance contract, to do these projects. And the RSA 21, the Big Lake RSA, has nominated several of these as pilot projects. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering why the system isn't working now. I mean, if you go through the RSA and you got a lot of capital projects, you got a contractor there who's got optional maintenance. They're doing standard maintenance. I don't quite understand.
The engineering techniques that we would use to fix these roads are not presently provided for under the road construction manual. And those who have the authority to bless these projects are saying that because it doesn't meet that criteria, we can't approve the projects. And that's the reason for my first bullet.
So you'd have to go back in front of the Big Road Board and rewrite your standards.
No, we have to get approval from I would assume it would be the assembly that's the ultimate authority in giving
right,
you approval.
But we'd like to hear from them
first. If they would allow the borough staff to use these standards, these low-volume road standards, for these pilot projects, that would get us over that hump.
I don't understand why I call them a pilot project when these look like just average roads that need maintenance or some sort of construction.
Pilot projects was a term I came up with to best describe it. It's just a term.
Okay.
I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. They are just projects that need maintenance. Some of them have needed it. I have watched it for 30 years, long time.
Okay. This isn't a workshop, but
yeah.
I appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be working on that. And I've got to tell you, I supported trying this idea out there, and I snuck out there last spring at the height of breakup when I was – my own borough road that I use most often was swallowing up four-wheel drive vehicles. So I thought, I'm going to sneak out to Call of the Wild and see how they're surviving. And it was very impressive.
Thank you.
And I'll do it again next year, too. I mean, next spring.
Actually, right now is not a bad time. We've had a lot of rain.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Manager?
If appropriate, we'll have the ferry discussion at the time that we're asking to approve the maintenance for November and December.
Okay. Mr. Attorney.
I have no report tonight.
Thank you. Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, the clerk's report is in your red folders. There was also a request to cancel the November 12th regular meeting that had been originally rescheduled from November 19th. Is this something the Assembly would like to do?
Could the manager speak to that so we know if everything's going to fit?
I would like to have you also consider that since you're going to be here on November 5th to do a...
Speak to the November 19th first.
November 12th.
Okay. I'm okay with canceling November 12th if we do something else.
Oh, okay.
That I'd like to speak to now.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Okay. I thought you were bringing up a new subject.
Okay. We have planned to do a special meeting dedicated just to economic development. I would like to do that at 4 p.m. on November 5th. And we will make do not having a meeting on November 12th.
Okay.
So it's a big fat maybe for
sounds
me.
Sounds like a horse trade. Is there objection at the table to doing that? Canceling on the 12th and having a meeting on the 5th. Isn't there a conflict with AML?
I got a problem with that.
Mr. Mayor, AML is the following week. That's why we ended up rescheduling the November 19th meeting to November 12th, which we have now canceled.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter has a problem.
I'm just gone. I don't
okay. Anybody else? Well, there's no major objection, so, Madam Clerk, that's the way it'll be, I guess.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anything else?
Clarify, sir.
Yeah, we'll have a
meeting.
There'll be a meeting. On the 5th?
Yes. Yes, it is. Now, 4 p.m. special meeting on economic development on November 5th, and then 6 p.m. regular meeting on November 5th. The November 12th meeting canceled.
Can we get cake in the meeting?
I'll bring you food.
That's one way to sell it. Okay, Madam Clerk. Oh, we have some presentations here to our outgoing Assembly members. And first of all, our elder statesman, Mr. Woods. Out with the annotations of the staff and Assembly members, and
thank you very much.
And we're going to miss both of you. Noel's one of these guys. When you get him, you get his wife too, and she probably worked with the part of everybody else. Make a speech, Mr. Woods.
Oh. Thank you very much, and it's been very interesting to be here for 3 years and to see the changes that have been happened that since we've been here from the 19. I'm an old timer, aren't I? From 2010 until now, and I really think that the economic development thing is going really well. I hope that the continuation looks just as good as we see in the future. And again, thank you guys very much. It's been good working with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Keough. Likewise for you. And I think I said here, as often as we disagreed, I was never in any doubt that you didn't know what was in the packet and that you hadn't done your homework.
It's always briefly. Thanks very much. It's been my privilege to serve my constituents in District 1. It's been my pleasure. I will have some comments at the very end of the meeting when we wrap up the meeting a few hours from now. But I'll make some special comments and thanks at that time. But thank you all very much for being here. I know it's not necessarily to see Noel Woods and I go out the door together. However, I guess I would comment that one of the reasons that I ran for assembly and was subsequently elected is because I didn't have an opportunity to speak at one time because of our small cramped quarters when we had some very contentious issues before the assembly. So it's fulfilling in some way to see this large, spacious chamber full of people on our very first meeting here tonight that have an opportunity to speak before the seven assembly members here that guide the policy of the place that we all live. Thanks. That's all I have to say for now.
Thank you. Citizen and other correspondence. Big piece of our packet, all the minutes and reports from boards, commissions, and community councils. There are two vetoes. So we will bring those. Madam Clerk, would you read into the record AM 13134?
I sure will, Mr. Mayor. Award of bid number 14037B to J.A. Spains & Sons, Incorporated, for the contract amount of $103,420.60 for Lazy Mountain Road Service Area Number 19, annual road maintenance.
Okay, what's your pleasure? Assemblymember Keogh.
I move to override the mayoral veto of AM number 13-134.
Okay, you want to speak to it?
Just very briefly, this has been a long-standing and very contentious issue, and I've given an extraordinary amount of time talking to a variety of people and trying to get my arms around the issue. This was an item that we passed a previous assembly member, a previous assembly meeting by a split vote, and after a rather long consideration and conversations with numerous people, I have decided to vote to override the veto. I will say that I did attend the Lazy Mountain Community Council meeting here last week, and this is for the Lazy Mountain Road Service Area. I asked if they had any input for that meeting in the way of guidance. They did not. Their road service area only has one active member, so they I didn't hear from them as well, but I could speak at this at length, but I'll just leave it as I'm voting to override.
Okay, Assemblymember Culver.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am in favor of overriding this. Winter's approaching. This rain could turn to snow any day. I voted for the original contract award back in June when these contracts were bid. And, of course, they were at a lower price then. And then everybody got to see the numbers, and there was a rebid. And now we have a successful bidder, went through the process, done everything we've asked them to. And so I think we have to stick with the process. Our job here is to award contracts based on successful bids put in and vetted by staff. I think this firm to be a highly reputable one. And, you know, if we ought to have a conversation about qualifications, bid procedures, bonding, that's another conversation. What we are here is awarding a contract so that folks can get their roads maintained. Yeah, it may be more expensive than what was before us to begin with. Well, you should have voted for it, because I did. But we have to get on with business here. So if we do not approve an override of your vote, if we do not override the mayor, we will be in limbo, and there will be no road maintenance contract in place. And it will be a T&M contract with somebody, I assume, meanwhile. So I think it's in the public interest to make sure that we have road maintenance under contract for the winter. That's as simple as that.
Mr. Manager, would you speak to what takes place if if this award is not granted.
I'm going to have George Hayes address that particular, but we would still provide a service. I believe we'd provide it with the former but still performing contractor.
Yes, that is correct. The current contractor essentially would just be extended. It is my understanding, though, that that contractor probably would, and rightfully so, would ask for additional funds beyond what the current contract calls for. But he would be extended, and then until we got a new bid.
Thank you. Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very briefly, this is a pretty short story. The contracting community came to us and asked for help to resolve what they saw as an imbalance in the procurement process, where it was subjective on who received the award. So we took it up. We had discussions. We had a lot of discussions. And the resolution to that was, let the marketplace determine who is qualified. And how you do that is you require a performance bond in the contract. Let the underwriter decide who is qualified, not somebody sitting in a cubicle in the halls of government. Somebody that has that as their core business, and it's their money if there's non-performance. So that's what we did. We added performance-based contracting. Performance bond that's in these contracts, that's why they're more expensive. That's it. I'm going to vote to override the mayor's veto. Thank you.
So is there any objection to the motion to override?
Yes, there is.
There is one. Are we ready to vote? Okay. A vote in the affirmative supports the override. That's the way the motion was made, and a no supports the mayor. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
Mr. Mayor, they actually can push their buttons to the left of your computer screen or even to the right is the old voting system.
Madam Clerk, can you clarify? So the motion is to override, so that's a yes?
If you want to override the veto, you would say yes. If you support the veto, you'd vote no.
Where's my button?
Mr. Mayor, the veto is overridden with Assemblymember Salmon and Culligan opposed.
Thank you. And I appreciate, we really don't need to talk all night about these things because we've been over this ground and I've stated my side, so not going to rehearse it. We're now facing AM 13-135, Madam Clerk, the highest contract in the whole borough.
Award a bid number 14038B to J.A. Spain and Sons Incorporated for the contract amount of $145,046.16 for Alpine Road Service Area Number 31, annual road maintenance.
Okay, is there a motion? Assemblymember Kehoe.
I move to override AM number 13-135 and a brief statement for that, please.
Okay.
Like the previous contract award, I did approach the Alpine Road Service Area regarding this project. I solicited their input. All board members were present, as were a couple of the folks who had previously bid this. I asked for their guidance. All three guys had a different opinion. There was no, so they couldn't offer any guidance. I would say this, at the previous meeting prior to the veto, this action memo was passed by a unanimous 7-0 vote. So I'll be voting to override this action memo as well, or override the mayor's decision on this as well.
Okay. Is there objection to the motion to override?
Yes.
There is. Madam Clerk, would you take the vote?
So used to saying that, they just need to press the buttons, Mr. Mayor. We've been saying it for over a year.
That's right, yeah.
You mean I can actually tell them to vote?
Yes, you can.
Wow.
Assemblymember Woods?
Don't need you anymore.
Can you Well, you do. Mr. Mayor, the motion to override passed with Assemblymember Salmon and Culligan opposed.
Okay.
We are now ready for persons to be heard. Do we want to take a five-minute break? There might be some more cake out there. Let's make it 7 minutes. We'll be back at 7 after 7.
Continuing education grants for the Big Lake, Sutton, Talkeetna, Trapper Creek, and Willow Public Libraries.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Before I open the public hearing, there's been several requests about the resolution amending public employee retirement system participation, and that was pulled. You're welcome to stay and speak to the issue, but it's not on the agenda tonight. Mr. Culligan?
One clarification. Does that mean when it comes back, there will be another?
Right. It would be a public process again. Okay. It's not a backdoor smoke room deal. So, back to ordinance 13121. We'll open the public hearing. There's nobody signed up to speak to that. Anybody wish to speak? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-121 and resolution serial number 13-101 and ask for a quick vote and approval, please.
Okay, is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, that passes without objection and moves us to ordinance 13-122.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $5,780,000 for a portion of grant funds from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for the Department of Emergency Services fiscal year 2014 designated legislative grant projects with accompanying resolution serial number 13-102. A resolution approving the scopes of work and budgets for the portion of the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development grants for the Department of Emergency Services projects.
Okay, once again, this is a public hearing. We will open it. There's nobody signed up. There's nobody rising to speak, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Arvin, Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-122 and resolution serial number 13-102.
Thank you. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. And brings us to ordinance 13-123.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $18,783,000 for a portion of the fiscal year 2014 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development with accompanying resolution serial number 13-103, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the fiscal year 2014 designated legislative grant projects from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development.
Okay. Once again, anybody wish to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-123 and resolution serial number 13-103.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, that also passes. Ordinance 13-124.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating a grant in the amount not to exceed $500,000 to fund 435, project number 10170 from the Rasmussen Foundation for the construction of the Talkeetna Library and Community Resource Center with accompanying resolution serial number 13-104, a resolution approving the scope of work and amended budget for the Talkeetna Library and Community Resource Center.
Thank you. Is there anybody here from Talkeetna? Anybody wish to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halter. Use your mic, please.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-124 and resolution serial number 13-104. Ask for approval. This is the library project up there that's ongoing. We just borough funded about $1.2 million, the state $2.8 million, and this is the Rasmussen grant.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none. That passes. Ordinance 13125.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $20,000 from the Alaska State Department of Natural Resources Office of History and Archaeology to Fund 480 Project Number 47011 for the purpose of nominating an archaeological district to the National Register of Historic Places for the Cottonwood Creek sites located on tribal and state lands in partnership with Kanatnu Incorporated and the Kinnick Tribal Council with accompanying resolution serial number 13105, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for nominating an archaeological district to the National Register of Historic Places for the Cottonwood Creek sites located on tribal and state lands in partnership with Kanatnu Incorporated and the Kinnick Tribal Council.
I would have called that Kinnickotnu, but...
You are probably correct, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Is there anybody here that wants to speak to that? There's nobody signed up. And nobody rising to speak, so we will close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move ordinance serial number 13-125 and accompanying resolution serial number 13-105 and request unanimous approval from the Assembly. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. This is what has actually become our consent agenda. Ordinance 13-126.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $350,000 for a portion of grant funds from the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development for Willow Fire Service Area Fiscal Year 2014 designated legislative grant project and appropriating the required matching funds in the amount of $150,000 from the Willow Fire Service Area Fund Balance Fund 258 for project number 45273 Fund 405. Accompanying resolution serial number 13106, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for a portion of the Alaska State Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development grants for Willow Fire Service Area Project Number 45273, Fund 405.
Thank you. There's nobody signed up. Does anybody want to rise to speak? The public hearing is open. Hearing none and seeing none, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Halter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-126 and resolution serial number 13-106. And this is an important piece of legislation. I want to thank Senator Dunleavy for funding the $350,000 from the state grant. This will be a Crystal Lake Fire Hall substation that's is needed up there. And so I'm asking that this legislation go forward. It'll allow them to put this out, to design it, and put it out to bid so it can be constructed next summer.
Thank you. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none. That too passes with no objection. Ordinance 13-127.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $68,171 from the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant Program to Fund 425, Project Number 45158 for communications equipment with accompanying resolution, serial number 13107, resolution approving the amended budget for the Alaska State Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management Grant, Project Number 45158, Fund 425 for communications equipment.
Okay. Public hearing's open. Public hearing's closed. Bring it back to Assemblymember Arvin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-127 and resolution serial number 13-107.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, it passes. Ordinance 13-128.
An ordinance amending MSB 17.28.090A, adding an interim materials district known as 7 Mile Ridge, located at Block 3, Lots 1 through 4 of 7 Mile Ridge Subdivision within Township 16 North, Range 4 West, Section 27, Seward Meridian.
Thank you. Again, nobody signed up. The public hearing's open. Nobody's rising. The public hearing's closed. We'll bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt ordinance serial number 13-128.
Is there objection? Hearing none, passes. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 13-129.
An ordinance changing a condition contained in the interim material district for development of the Susitna Parkway pit located within Township 16 North, Range 4 West, Section 6 on Parcel D1, Seward Meridian.
Thank you. And we do have Mr. Butch Moore signed up. Please come forward. And it's new chambers, but old time, 3 minutes.
And he needs to turn on his mic.
You need to turn on the mic.
Good evening, Assembly members. My name is Butch Moore. I would first like to thank Assembly members Warren Keel and Noel Woods for their time and their service and listening and help and support most of the time. I know it's been a lot of work. You guys have done a great job. I want to clarify a couple things on this change. One of the, I think, the biggest hurdles on this, and I think that Alex Strawn can back me up on this if we need any comment, but one of the things that happened with this, the conditions on the pit, what was presented to the Big Lake Community Council, the Planning Commission, the Assembly, was that the contractor was going to be requested to improve the road. Somehow that was never in the ordinance. And we have worked through that, and Mr. Moosey's done an excellent job. I think we've reached a resolve. I appreciate his efforts. And it's kind of the chicken or the egg. We can't really change the berm code without coming to the Assembly, and we can't ask the contractor to change his contract with and still do, so there's been a lot of work on it, but I think we've reached it, and I appreciate it. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer them, but I'd ask you to pass this so we can go forward. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I was out there last, I think it was Friday, drove all around there and got a pretty good feel for it. They were on the last few yards out of Magic Mountain.
Well,
nobody but you probably knows who that, where Magic Mountain is.
Well, I can tell you the road is already better than what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think they're going to do more, too.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And thank you to the manager.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Okay. We'll bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon. I don't know if you've seen a pattern, but it seems like all the action's out west. Mr. Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move ordinance serial number 13-129.
Thank you. Is there objection? Assemblymember Keel.
Well, I'm going to support the ordinance, but there's a discrepancy between the language of the ordinance and the language addressing condition 12. As approved by the Planning Commission, and it's cited in this memorandum we have that includes the Planning Commission that was given to us at the beginning of the meeting here. So I'm going to move to strike on page 2 under condition 12, which would be line 6, beginning at the word south, delete the words as agreed upon by the adjacent landowner and the borough project manager approximately, to strike that language. And I'd asked through the mayor to the attorney to help explain why we should do that.
Okay. I'm glad you've prepared Mr. Attorney. Mr. Spropoulos.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, you have the memo from Alex Strawn to you today, dated today. His memo concludes with, the Planning Commission recommends eliminating the following words from Condition 12 as agreed on by the adjacent landowner and the borough project manager approximately. And I would concur with that recommendation. And the reason is what you're doing here is you're passing an ordinance governing the use and occupancy of land. This is a zoning ordinance. You're creating an interim materials district, which is a zone, like some people have you know, residential zones, commercial zones. The borough doesn't, but we do have a materials district zone, and that's what this is. And when you do that, you have to take into account benefits and impacts on the community as a whole, not benefiting one particular property or one particular landowner, and not passing a zone solely for the benefit of one particular property or one particular landowner. Otherwise, it becomes spot zoning. And I mentioned that last time regarding other language that we had recommended get rid of. And so that's the reason I believe the Planning Commission recommended to do it, and that's after looking at the memo, I would support that.
Thank you. Is there objection to the amendment? Hearing none, the amendment stands. We have the main motion before us as amended. Is there further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Thank you. We're now ready for Ordinance 13130.
An ordinance authorizing amendment number 6 of the current lease at Port McKenzie by and between the borough and Lutic Manufacturing Contractors, LLC, MSB 002946.
Okay. Public hearing's open. There's nobody signed up. And nobody's rising. So we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move ordinance serial number 13-130.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Assemblymember Arvin.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. Can we please have staff give us like a 1 minute or less synopsis of what this, you know, it changes, it adds a whole paragraph in where the word use was there before, and I'd just like some clarity on that.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, I certainly can do this. What we are finding is the original lease limited them to some of the activities that they needed to do. So that was really the impetus on moving forward to allow to permit them to do the work that they have been incurring for years, but was not done in the provision. This is also at the same time we're looking at negotiating. I'm renegotiating for the price of the lease. We have kind of put that off to another day, but we wanted to make sure that they were in full compliance with our agreement for them to continue operating. They are our longest-term tenant. We want them to stay there. We value them, and so we are trying to accommodate them. It has absolutely no negative impact on our port and our port operations or future port tenants.
Thank you. Further discussion? Assemblymember Keogh.
Through the mayor to the manager, I've spoken to some folks in community development and as well as the our attorney's office. Are you confident that this that we can negotiate a lease with the Lutic by the end of the year?
Mr. Manager.
Yes, that gives us enough time to do so. So that's our intention, and we'll be moving forward if this is approved.
Mr. Keogh.
Well, just a follow-up. I guess I'd like to express my frustration, and I appreciate the value of having a Lutic as the leaseholder here, and I think it's good. I'm going to support this. However, regarding these very early port leases, I have to express my dismay again that the leaseholder, which I believe is the prime land in the port, that lease by MPI, like a Lutic, has held a lease which was supposed to be renegotiated 2 years ago at the fair market value. And the MPI lease, as an example, in my understanding, holds the lease for a meager $2,000 a year. So I would hope that we can, or the next assembly members can, or the future assembly can help negotiate a lease and bring it up to a value to generate revenue for the borough and a lease that's at the fair market value. I don't think $2,000 a year is an adequate amount by a long shot.
Okay. That means there's no more discussion, and it sounds like there's no objection. So it passes. And that brings us to Ordinance 13131.
An ordinance annexing portions of the Hatcher Pass Government Peak Unit into the South Colony Road Service Area Number 16 and the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area Number 132 without the placement of the question on the ballot and finding that it serves the public interest. With accompanying resolution Sierra Number 13108, a resolution finding the annexation of portions of the Hatcher Pass Government Peak Unit into the South Colony Road Service Area Number 16 and the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area Number 132 serves the public interest without circulation of a petition as allowed by MSB 510-015, initiation by the Assembly.
Okay. Is there anybody wishing to speak to this? I've certainly heard about it for a while, but I guess nobody's here. So I'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Colbert.
I move to adopt Ordinance Serial Number 113-131 and Resolution Serial Number 13-108. And I'd also put on the record that the Road Service Board for South Colony and the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area Board have supported this ordinance. We just got the Fire Service Area Board comments here about an hour ago.
Oh, really? Because I had nothing but negative so far from the fire service.
Well, you're listening to the wrong person, I guess.
Okay, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Charlie Akers, who's the primary on that fire service area, stopped by before the 5 o'clock meeting, and he said, as redrawn, the original map they did have objections to, but the map that is in this packet, they all agreed they didn't have issues with it. They had that meeting today, or we would have gotten something in writing.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that. Do you want to speak further to it? Do you want to speak to it, Mr. Culver?
Just a little bit of humor is a good once in a while, too. So.
Well, would you speak?
Okay,
I have gotten concern from road service area people up there that are going to be burdened with this maintenance. And they're the ones leaning on me. Do you want to speak to that?
As far as I know, the board looked at it. I think you might be hearing from maybe
taxpayers. It wasn't the road service area.
Yeah, I mean, it's Hatcher Pass, okay? Some people don't like anything to do with Hatcher Pass. I'll just put it that way. This has to do with Hatcher Pass. And so we are building a facility up there. We need road maintenance. We're hoping to have a residential community. The foresight was that, hey, it would be a good idea to plan for development ahead of time instead of react to it. In other words, go ahead and put some fire and service and road maintenance in place. The only thing we'll have right now to maintain is the road, which is heavily used, and the chalets. The public meeting center and warm-up hut and whatnot. But it's really more to how we fund roads. So if we're going to have service areas, we're a second-class borough. If we want to grow up and be a first-class borough and have home rule and not have all these service areas and award all these small contracts and have all these fiefdoms, we got to do something different. Right now, that's how we maintain roads, and that's how we provide fire protection. So if we want to spread out the burden equally amongst all taxpayers, we'll have to form a different type of government. But right now, if we're going to plow a road or we're going to protect homes and businesses for fire protection, this is how we do it. And so as a surveyor, I've worked on a number of properties that have no buildings on them, but there's fire service issues, fire service around them. They're paying fire tax and whatnot. So it's not this particular area. It's all over the place. So you may or may not have residences yet. It may be farmland. It may be vacant land. But until we develop a different model to provide maintenance, fire protection, this is what we've got. So if we don't want to have fire protection and we don't want to have road maintenance, then I don't know what to do. But otherwise, we have to go to our limited general powers, which Nick would say, oh, you can't provide services because we have a service area model. So we're stuck with that until we change it. So if we want fire and road, I don't know how else to do it. Thank you.
Thanks for speaking to that. Assemblymember Woods.
Yes, I was at the fire department board meeting, and they approved it because most of the time when they go up in that direction, why, it's on a fire service call with the Forest Service, and if they spend more than 2 hours up there, the Forest Service reimburses them for their costs. So that really wasn't a big item, but with the homeowners there currently within the road service area, they didn't know the extra cost involved for doing the road service maintenance that is called in this, and wanted to know, because this was being landed on them without the cost evaluation, why exactly who was going to pay the extra costs for that, and why wasn't there also within this an extra money appropriated either by assessing people closer to that area, or if it's a total borough operation, why the borough wasn't adding the money for that road service up in that area. So since there's no income, why they were very disappointed that it looked like this was going to be added to their bill. And so I would recommend that we split this and or ask for information on the increase of the dollar bill to the current people that are on that road service area. Thank you.
So is this a motion to postpone until time certain we can have a fiscal note on the road service contract?
No.
No?
I would ask for an answer to the question, how is the money going to be appropriated to do what is essentially a borough operation, doesn't involve the local homeowners?
Well, it's quite obvious. Assemblymember Culver spoke to it. That road service area will shoulder the expense of maintaining that road. And okay. You got the picture.
I got the picture.
Yeah. Assemblymember Salmon, then Assemblymember Keough.
I'd just like to point out that the RSAs and FSAs have spoken in favor, and anyone that was not in favor did not show up here tonight to tell us that they were not in favor. And so I think it's clear that this motion should pass and we should vote. If there was some disenfranchisement from the community, I would have thought at least one would have been here to share that with us. But the RSAs and the FSAs, they work with us and for us, and they seem to be good to go. So that's good enough for me. Thank you.
Assemblymember Keough.
Well, like you, Mr. Mayor, and Assemblymember Woods, I've had some phone calls, too, even though this is in Mr. Culver's district. So I've took some time to pursue this a little further. Assemblymember Woods is correct. One of the issues here that's road service area specific, not necessarily fire service area, but for road service area, there are no residences in this proposed annexed area. So, therefore, there's no possible revenue to be generated to add to the road service area budget. It turns out, however, that the costs are relatively nominal for this. The Mountain Trails Drive, which goes off the Edgerton Parks Road that goes into that portion of this proposed annexation, is less than a half mile long. The road service area contract rate, per mile rate, is about a little over $5,700 per mile. So this would be an If it's at the same rate, which it probably would be, you'd add on a cost of $2,800 per year. In addition to that, there is the cost of maintaining the parking lot there, which would be another couple of thousand dollars a year. So essentially, the cost for the year to annex into this area, the road service area cost, would have a bump of roughly $6,000 a year. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Manager, but in the community development budget, this previous year we budgeted $10,000 for this very purpose. So so the cost will be covered short term, and it's up to next year's assembly budget, if this is annexed in, whether to bump the road service area mill rate up to accommodate these relatively small costs or not. So I guess after this rambling statement, the question is that... That's correct. We do have money budgeted in the community development department to cover the road maintenance costs for this small section of road and parking lot till next year.
The community development director is wagging affirmative. Let's get it on tape here.
Eric Phillips, Community Development Director. Through the mayor to Assemblyman Keogh, yes, we budgeted funds in this year's budget to cover snow removal costs up to and including the parking lot. I don't know if it was $10,000. I thought it was more like $6,800 or $7,000, but yes, we did budget for that, not anticipating that the road would be added into the RSA.
Assemblymember Colbert.
Just for the record, Mr. Mayor, I was informed by staff that part of the deal on acquiring the right-of-way for the access to the Government Peak area, the rec area, was that the landowner was going to be allowed to have driveways off of that new road. So part of that, they got eight driveways, and that's eight properties that are going to generate revenue. They're going to pay for that road. So we're already, because of that activity, we're already generating tax revenue. It's probably just close to the border of the existing service area, but where there would have not been any development nor any taxes derived, now we are seeing some houses and some investment and some return to the taxpayer to help pay for this type of road. So it's a chicken and egg thing. You got to build the road before they come, and I think it will pay dividends in the future. This is kind of what we're doing when we're doing at the port. We're building a railroad. We're betting on the come that we're going to have some use of that rail in the port. So it's on a different scale, on a more of a recreational use and a housing development, hopefully. But we're trying to get ahead of the curve here. Thank you.
Okay, we're ready for the Mr. Manager.
Just something we'll check into, because you did mention a parking lot. I'm not sure that we can use RSA funds to clear a parking lot. So we'll get that answer and bring that back. I mean, road service area is road service area. I'm not sure we can cover a parking lot, maintenance and plowing.
Assemblymember Woods.
I hear the funding is in order there, so I'm going to vote for this.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Is there any objection? There's no objection. It passes without objection. So now we move to audience participation, and we have several signed up here. So we will go to audience member number one, who is Helen Minos, followed by Nancy Salt.
My name is Helen Minos, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Moosey, and Borough Assembly. First of all, I think I'm going to thank Mr. Keogh for getting me and having me continue my 41-year trek to get something done in this borough about taking care of our own sewage in this valley, since we talk so much about economic development. I hope every one of you pick up the Alaska Business. I do not subscribe to it. But there's an interesting article in there written by Rindy White, and it's going to be a series of articles addressing a subject that I'm so close to about urban water and wastewater systems. And it takes Anchorage to the task of having a primary sewer system with an EPA waiver that expired in 2005. And it's time we here in this borough grow up and address this issue, because it's time. Because I've been in economic development. I had a B&B. I've had all angles of the spectrum. And I really believe it's time. And another thing, I was sitting back there, and I've lived on Lazy Mountain for 41 years, and I really think that the borough should have had a very good thing in their statutes, or whatever you call it, to have certain roads, have roads brought up to borough standards before you take them over for RSA. I live on Lazy Mountain, and our road was taken over, but it's all our money that was put into that road. It's not in a subdivision, but any of the RSA men that have to take care of that road never have to worry about Helmar Place, because we've maintained it all these years, and it was put on at our money. And how many subdivisions have been started in this borough, and the contractors and the developers go away, and the roads, I mean, it's nice to sit and look at it here and see the mess they are, some of them. And I think it's a disgrace, really. And expect the government to come, and the government is made up of people. We all pay in the long run, because it doesn't come from anybody else, but from where we are right now. So I've taken my 3 minutes, and thank you, Mr. Woods, and I enjoy coming here, believe it or not. So have a good evening.
Thank you, and our apologies, the timer is not working yet in this room, so.
But,
no, you're just fine. You will know about it when your 3 minute expires, but you don't have anything to see there yet. So Nancy is next, followed by Blaine Allman.
Oh, boy, you guys are a little intimidating out there. My name's Nancy Salt. I've been a resident of the borough since 1984. I've been a taxpayer since about a year later. First thing I did is I bought a trailer. I came up here and I realized being homeless here would be a whole lot different than being homeless in California. So we got a trailer, and we have been paying taxes ever since. A few years ago, I came to you in a desperate situation. My house was going to be sold. My husband passed away. He had been sick for years before that, and we got behind on our taxes and couldn't come up with the whole amount. That seems to be a big statement here. You have to have the whole amount, or you won't even talk to him. I try not to get emotional about this, but I think you don't understand. A lot of the people that this happens to didn't go get a mortgage, didn't go and ask anybody to help them. They went to work, and they paid for every block, every log, every piece of metal on the roof out of their hard work, out of my hard work, my husband's hard work, and all my children's dividends for 10 years. I did some math this morning, and I paid about $40,000 for the house. So far, I've given this borough $64,000. Now, a lot of that was the penalties and interest from our situation where we couldn't pay our taxes. So I understand. What I don't understand is what we're doing to one of our residents. I'm only speaking for one person. I would like you to take all the homes off the list, of course. I've already asked you that in an email, and I was ignored, and you voted to sell them all, except for one, because one woman came here and told her story. And you did take her house off the list. So once again, we're being treated as different taxpayers. We are not all equal in this borough. If you have the gas to get here, you can ask nicely and say please, and maybe you'll get some help. If you don't have the gas money to get here, if you don't have the means to get here, if you don't know, like tonight, where you are, we weren't really sure where you were tonight. So what I'm asking is, why is it in the best interest of the borough to make people homeless? I asked our manager, and he says, no, none of those people live in those homes. Correct? Thank you. You're the first one that's told the truth in this whole story. If you were told that those homes were empty, you were lied to. If you helped this assembly make the decision based on that lie, then they were all lied to. Blaine Allman is a Navy veteran from the Vietnam War. He only owes $988 in taxes on his little cabin out on Burma Road. You've added on $2,700 to that $988 tax bill, and now you're going to kick him out of his home. I don't see how that's in the best interest of the borough. I'd like you to take off that $1,000 that you added on to his bill for no reason, just that it was the day that you could do it,
and
negotiate with him. I'd like to introduce Blaine Allman.
And he is next. Mm-hmm. Please come forward. And he's followed by Mel Vostry.
Can you all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm Blaine Allman, and I'm a U.S. veteran. And I have talked to the Veterans Association, and they said that they would help me with refinancing and getting my act together. Plus, I had a contractor. I've got his name in my billfold. It offered me 300 burn barrels plus as many jobs as he can getting. He would give me barrels off of them jobs. I've already come and got some barrels. He gave me a barrel cutter. And he knows me, and he's so honest. He says, Blaine, go over to my garage, get the barrels out of there. And he's so thankful that I'm helping him, just started helping him, rather. And I would be able to pay some money tomorrow if the Social Security comes together, and because of this bomber arguing with so-and-so, whatever's going on, I don't know what's going on there, but I'd be able to pay $200 tomorrow plus this coming week if there's not too much rain, and next week I'd be able to pay $100, another $100, and at the end, well, we're going past the sale, but at the end of beginning of November, I would be able to pay, at that time, around $300. And other than that, I would not like to be made homeless. I have been there 28 years. I don't know if anybody's interested in dogs, but I got three dogs that I don't know what I'm going to do with. And I've helped people out in the community. There's various people are gone now. There's some left from Big Lake, I believe. And the fire department, I've helped them out. I've helped the troopers out. I've been there and had the cars go the right way and the wrong way. In fact, I just helped them on Kinnick there. I forget, it was a month or at least a month or more. And when there was a bad car accident. And I've done that various times. I've done that over here by Palmer. And I would ask if you would take my name off the list as far as losing my property. It would really help me out to get this whole thing together, because it's going to take time for the VA to do what they want to do. And I've been on the phone with them about it, but it's just not going to happen overnight. Anyway, I thank you for your time and everything, and is there any questions? Or?
I would recommend that you sit down with Assemblymember Solomon. I think that's your area, and, you know, explain what's been going on before this, that your taxes weren't paid, and why you weren't here when that ordinance was before us. That's when we could have done something about it. It's a lot harder to fix now. But we can't do it right now in front of everybody. But thanks for coming forward.
Then I should talk to Mr. Solomon, what you're saying?
Well, either that or the manager. Probably the manager would be the best at this point, because it's really passed out of our hands.
All right. I'll do that one. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Mel, followed by Brian Galloway.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, my name is Mel Vostry, resident of District 1. Here to speak to Resolution 13-114, which was taken off the agenda. I don't know why, but I'm assuming that there was some other important information that you folks had garnered that will have a bearing on that. I've been associated with Borough Emergency Services since 1990, with statewide EMS since 1979. I've been both a full-time paid employee with the borough and emergency responder on the ambulance side. I appreciate all the support the Assembly has provided to emergency services and assume that will continue. The infrastructure of borough emergency services has greatly been improved, but the issue with 13114 speaks to the blood and the bone marrow of borough emergency services, which are the responders themselves. The borough assembly has always expressed its appreciation to the emergency responders, even when it couldn't provide a lot of infrastructure and when the pay was very, very low. That has greatly improved, and I appreciate that. Apparently, the state would like more than the borough assembly's appreciation. They would like for the borough assembly to pick up the tab for PERS. I don't envy you your deliberations on how you're going to address this. There are many ways it could be addressed. It, I believe, will be a very costly issue financially, but more importantly, costly to the blood and bone marrow of your emergency services, the responders. I don't know how you intend to address the issue, but I hope you do it with a clear head, trying to avoid special interests that may come forward. Thank you for your time, and I hope to see you back here.
Thank you. Mr. Galloway. I like your last name. That's the name of my cows.
I'd like to thank everyone for allowing me to speak tonight. Specifically, thank you to Assemblyman Woods and Assemblyman Keogh for your service to this community.
You need to state your name yourself, not just for the record.
My name is Brian Galloway. I've been a longtime Palmer resident and currently working in Wasilla. I work with Access Alaska as an independent living advocate and senior and disabled case manager. I wanted to thank the borough first off for approving funds to match the human services matching grant offered by the state. I did want to bring to your attention, though, that through the RFP process, Access Alaska did not receive funds through this matching grant. I just wanted to pass on some information about what that could mean to our community. Access Alaska uses those minimal funds that we had received directly for services into the community, directly to our community members. We do not use those funds for operational costs. We do not use those funds for anything else but assisting persons with unmet medical, mental health, dental, home modification, assistive technology, and adaptive equipment purchases. These funds get used for persons that otherwise will not receive services, whether it's because they don't qualify for state assistance or federal assistance through ongoing programs. As well as with these funds, they're not used for what's considered blended funding. This money does not go into one large pot for whatever use. This funding is used specifically for what's called braided funding. We match these funds with other programs to make that need or that unmet need covered, where otherwise these people would not receive assistance from any other organization, because part of that is they have to come not just to Access, but to other organizations in the community to receive those funds. And part of these funds could also be able to to help folks in Mr. Allman's position, as well as other programs that we have. And if I could, later I'll be meeting with him and hopefully the manager and Assemblyman Salmon to see if we can help him out as well. But what I'm asking for tonight is for the Assembly to re-examine that scoring process that was used and see if we can't find some funds to put towards the MATSU matching, as Access Alaska calls it, to that matching fund so we can help the dozens of people that we have in the past and to continue to show that support. Thank you.
Thank you. And I take it you did apply for that grant?
Yes, sir, we did. And my understanding was from the scoring that was given out after the RFP process, Access Alaska was disqualified by less than 1 point.
You know, sometimes the competition's pretty
and
stiff.
And I do understand that completely.
Okay. So. Thank you. I got the picture. I forgot to announce the next one. Camille Buttman, followed by Elizabeth Ripley.
Good evening. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me tonight. My name is Camille Putnam. I work for Access Alaska out here in Wasilla. I am the MATSU regional manager, and I also wanted to talk to you about the Human Services Matching Grant. There's many members of the MATSU community that come to Access Alaska with a variety of needs. The unmet medical and dental needs of the borough residents far outweigh other needs. There's basic housing assistance program grant, it's otherwise known as the BHAP grant, that can assist with needs that pertain to remaining stably housed. So there's grant funds for that. There is the Mental Health Trust Authority grants that we can help with those citizens who need mental health coverage or any sort of things that can help with persons with developmental disabilities. But there's really nothing for those people who have unmet medical and dental needs. There is very limited funding available in the Valley for this, and the Human Services Matching Grant was the primary funding source for Access Alaska to fulfill these specific medical and dental needs in the past. There is an exponential amount of people who are unable to access medical and dental care that's necessary to maintain a good quality of life. There are several barriers that prevent accessibility, such as the fact that Medicaid and Medicare provide minimal coverage, and there's minimal providers, and it shrinks daily, that will accept Medicaid and Medicare. There is a large number of borough residents that are over income for Medicaid, but they do not have access to affordable health insurance. There's also those who have health insurance, but their deductible is thousands of dollars and they can't afford it. And as always, there's those who live with no health care coverage and they can't afford to pay for their medical and dental needs. Without proper medical and dental care, even the simplest tasks of daily living can be affected. Just dental problems alone can affect eating and sleeping, and without proper nutrition and rest, there's a higher risk of other more serious medical conditions, which will just result in higher costs down the road for medical care. We have been a recipient at Access Alaska for several years. All funds, as Brian had mentioned, that we receive from the grant are allocated to specifically be used for the community members and their specific needs. Access Alaska does not use any of the grant funds for administrative or operational costs. An example of the things that we can assist those community members with would be diagnostic visits. If there's a consumer that needs a verification of diagnosis to have access to Social Security. My time's up.
Yep, that's 3 minutes. Wrap it up.
Okay. Sorry.
You didn't have to run away. No, you could have used a couple sentences to wrap it up.
How many sentences?
Well, that's kind of dangerous when a woman asks that question.
So basically, to wrap it up, there is lots of access that we can help people gain with this MATSU matching grant. And the other thing I just quickly wanted to add is that I encourage that this program remains on a one-year grant cycle because the Mat-Su Borough is the fastest-growing community in Alaska, and if this is placed on a three-year grant cycle, then the community needs are not being assessed at the expected rate of growth in the Mat-Su Valley. So, thank you.
Next is Elizabeth Ripley, followed by Jennifer Harrison.
Mayor DeVilbiss, members of the Assembly, thanks for the opportunity to testify. I'm Elizabeth Ripley, Executive Director of the Mat-Su Health Foundation. I'm here to support Resolution 13-111. One of our focus areas at the Health Foundation is healthy, independent seniors. And Mat-Su has one of the highest rates of senior citizen population growth in the state and the nation. More seniors are moving into Mat-Su than are moving out. Seniors will account for 23% of our total population in Mat-Su by 2030. The 65 to 74-year-old age group will grow 159%, and the 75 to 84-year-old group will grow 247%. When you are looking at the current Mat-Su delivery system and what the demand will be in that time frame, these figures are daunting, particularly when you consider that the average 75 to 84-year-old has three chronic diseases. In 2011, our foundation and a number of funding partners published the Mat-Su Regional Plan for the delivery of senior services. Essentially, this plan established that our for-profit and nonprofit senior and disability providers are going to have to serve a lot more seniors with potentially flat or decreased funding. So the plan looked at cost-effective models to address the challenges we found and endorsed the Aging Disability Resource Center, or ADRC model. This ADRC model has been endorsed by 45 states, including Alaska, as a key element in the process of expanding access to services for older adults and disability populations while containing Medicaid cost growth, streamlining allocation of resources, and increasing consumer satisfaction by helping seniors maintain their independence. The state will save money in the long term by investing in this model. The state has established one ADRC in each region of Alaska. Mat-Su is in Region 5 with Kenai, Cordova, and Valdez. Kenai has the ADRC and uses Mat-Su's robust senior numbers to secure the funding, but cannot serve Mat-Su. We pointed out this inequity to the state, and the state worked with us to change state policy to allow two ADRCs in our region. And earlier this year, the state designated Lynx, a local nonprofit, as a legitimate ADRC, but then did not follow through with the promised funding to run the Mat-Su ADRC. Many of our Mat-Su senior and disability providers helped to launch this ADRC in full knowledge that the state will likely trim some of their particular funding sources. Still, they have helped make this a reality because they know, again, that we're going to have to serve a lot more seniors with less funding. So we appreciate the mayor's sponsorship of Resolution 13-111, which asks for the Mat-Su Borough to endorse state funding for the Mat-Su ADRC. And further, we're asking that this state funding be appropriated based on Mat-Su's share of the senior population, state senior population. So we're asking you to partner with us in leaning on the state to make funding this Mat-Su ADRC a priority in this 2014 state budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer, followed by Rachel Greenberg.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Harrison. I'm the Executive Director for Chickaloon Village Traditional Council. And tonight I'd like to read parts of our resolution number 130821-03, which is to oppose House Bill 77, which is regarding in-stream flow reservations for fish and wildlife. Afterwards, I'll provide a copy of this resolution and a similar resolution from our neighboring tribe, Connect Tribal Council, who asked me to submit it to you tonight. Chickaloon Village Traditional Council is the governing body of Chickaloon Native Village as recognized by the Chickaloon tribal citizens and has its as a responsibility to provide a government for the good health and welfare of its tribal citizens address any needs in its community. We have a long-term goal in our strategic plan to protect, enhance, and restore our ancestral lands, water, and air and ensure respectful, healthy development. and Alaska Native peoples depend on abundant salmon runs in healthy rivers for food security and subsistence lifestyles and also for tribal identity. And together with the Mat-Su Salmon Habitat Partnership, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and other partners, we have invested over $1 million to restore fish passage and salmon habitat in Moose Creek after habitat was damaged and fish passage blocked. Whereas the Moose Creek Fish Passage Restoration Project has been highly successful with salmon repopulating miles of historic spawning habitat upstream from the project. And together with our partners, including the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, we have funded 9 years of stream flow data collection on Moose Creek to support our application for an in-stream flow reservation for fish and wildlife. And to ensure adequate water for salmon to continue to thrive in Moose Creek, we applied in 2009 for an in-stream flow reservation. Whereas House Bill 77 would eliminate the rights of Alaska Native peoples to apply for in-stream flow rights and rescind all existing in-stream water flow applications submitted by tribes. So if this bill gets passed, our application is immediately thrown out. House Bill 77 ignores tribal sovereignty rights by eliminating the process for Alaska's federally recognized tribal governments to acquire water reservations to protect productive salmon streams, while local governments, like boroughs, will continue to be able to apply for water reservations under the new law. And House Bill 77 makes it more difficult for Alaska Native peoples to access the judicial process and prevents Alaska Native peoples from having their day in court. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Chicoloon Village Traditional Council opposes House Bill 77 and urges the Alaska State Senate to reject the legislation as it fails to recognize tribal sovereignty, gives the state new broad and unchecked powers at the expense of Alaska Native peoples' ability to participate in collaborative resource management, and establishes significant barriers to access the judicial process. This was approved by our council on August 21st, 2013. We urge you to vote for resolution number 13117. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Rachel.
Good evening. My name is Rachel Greenberg. I'm the Deputy Director of Mat-Su Senior Services, and I appreciate you letting me come and talk today. And today I'm speaking in support of Resolution 13-111, and I want to especially thank Mayor DeVilbiss for sponsoring this particular legislation. Really, as you heard from Elizabeth Ripley, the Mat-Su Borough has the fastest growing senior population in the state of Alaska. Right now, we're at about 12.5% seniors. By the year 2035, as you heard, we'll be at 23%. It is something that we need to be looking at. And that is something that as a borough and as a community, as a grassroots effort, we took that look and said we really need to find a more efficient way of delivering senior services in this community. And we developed an ADRC, an Aging Disability Resource Center here in the community. We identified Lynx Mat-Su Parent Resource Center as the potential, or as the ADRC here in this community. We worked with the state. We got them designated. We worked with Mat-Su Health Foundation, got some originally grant funding for 2 years. It was never intended to be long-term funding. Because we were part of Region 5, the funding all went to Kenai. Kenai has very vocally said that they are not going to be able to provide services here in Mat-Su. And we were able to get Mat-Su carved out of Region 5, but we never got that funding. And one of the things I heard this morning was not only did we not get funding, but they're also asking us to do a little bit more than what other ADRCs in the state are currently providing, which is pretty astounding to me since they didn't give us any funding. So I do encourage the Mat-Su, the Assembly, to support this resolution, and we look forward to hopefully making this a priority and getting some state funding into the future. And I know that that's on that. And can I also thank the borough and the assembly for the human services matching grant and the support that you've given over the years. We really appreciate that as nonprofits in this community. So thank you.
Thank you. And that was allowed because it's on the consent agenda. And actually, this audience participation can be about anything. So, and that's all that signed up. Was there anybody else that was too lazy to sign up? Oh, please come forward. Did I miss something?
No.
No.
He just happened to sign up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My memory's getting short. Jim Norcross, RSA 20. I won't go through the formalities. I'd like to get right to the subject. Can anybody tell me whether there is a rewrite of the subdivision construction manual in process? And if so, who ordered it?
We made an amendment a short while ago regarding culverts, but
there's
nothing else in the works.
The other issue is the water requirements and the hydrology studies and the gravel pits that have to be certified. I'm told. I haven't verified this, but that's an additional cost that you're going to put us out of business. I mean, we've been using a system that worked for years, but that's something that you're going to, I hope it comes out in writing. Low volume roads, I'm a little bit concerned with what's happening. Everybody keeps talking about, well, let the process work itself out. That's just what it did. It's worked itself out twice now, and you will be getting another resolution soon with the minutes. But I would suggest before you do anything on low-volume roads, you get a 5-year study on the maintenance cost as a minimum. And also, take a look at what we're trying to fix now that are certified. And I question, you might want to check the status of the roads that are using as tests to find out if they're certified or uncertified roads. These are concerns that the big board has had. I think this is the second time we've discussed this. I have a 6-page report here of questions and answers regarding low-volume roads, and the answers we got back were far from satisfactory. And most of them weren't answers. They were just statements of fact or proposed facts. So before you do anything on considering the borough or the taxpayer paying for low-volume roads, why, I wish you'd consider that very carefully. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we will close the audience participation and move into the consent agenda. Assemblymember Culver.
Yeah, there's one I didn't notice. I'd like to pull item resolution B, resolution 13-110.
Okay. Anybody else before we read the consent agenda? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, would you read what's left of the consent agenda?
Resolution Serial Number 13109, a resolution amending the budgets for Project Number 75005, Hatcher Pass Natural Gas Line, Little Susitna Crossing, and Hatcher Pass Real Estate Development Plan to supplement the funding for the natural gas line, Little Susitna Crossing. Resolution Serial Number 13111, a resolution in support of the state funding for the State Designated Aging and Disability Resource Center serving the Manuska-Susitna Borough. Resolution Serial Number 13113, a resolution allocating Human Services Community Matching Grant Funds to nonprofit human service agencies within the community and authorizing the manager to enter into grant agreements with the subgrantee agencies. Resolution Serial Number 13115, a resolution approving the scope of work for a Federal Aviation Administration grant application pertaining to a Regional Aviation System Plan Phase 2 and Float Plane Facility Location Study Phase 2. AM Number 13148, request to eliminate the Road Maintenance Superintendent 2 position from fiscal year 2014 budgets and replace it with another Road Maintenance Superintendent 1 position within the fiscal year 2014 budgets. AM Number 13150, vacation of the 30-foot-wide walkway and vehicle access easement located within proposed lots B and C, Block 2, Finger Cove 2013, located in Section 33, Township 18 North, Range 1 East, Seward Meridian.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Oh, Mr. Deputy Mayor, would you move those?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Thank you. And now that there's a motion, is there objection? Hearing none, the consent agenda is consented. And we move to the ones that were pulled, Resolution 13-110.
A resolution approving the scope of work for project number 47031, Fund 480, five-year land disposal and retention plan.
Assemblymember Culver, would you move that, please?
I move resolution serial number 13-110. The reason I pulled that, Mr. Mayor, is I'd like a little bit more backup information on what is proposed for spending that capital, $75,000, to scope out a five-year disposal plan. I'd put that money in the budget, I believe, and the intent was to identify some lands and get them on the market. And what I see here is money for records management, computer work. So I don't know that this translates into land for sale. That's what I was hoping, to get some high-value land identified and sold. And so I'm interested in what the department has in mind for this proposal.
Mr. Manager? Oh, there he is. Mr. Phillips.
Eric Phillips, Community Development Director. Through the mayor to Assemblyman Culver, actually, the land disposal plan is well underway, and it's going to do exactly the things you mentioned in terms of getting some lands identified and up for sale. We haven't spent any money in developing the plan. We've been doing it all internally, but we came to a point where we need to spend a little bit of money to bring some folks in. And when the legislation was passed, there was no scope of work attached. And so before we could spend a nickel, we had to identify the scope of work. And so all this is doing is giving us a scope of work so we can finish up. I think we're about 75% of the way done, so we're going to have to spend a little bit of money to get it over the finish line. Certainly not the entire budget.
Mr. Culver?
Okay, first a comment, then a question. I guess what concerns me when I see the words that we're going to spend the resources to enter it into govern, we have spent a lot of resources trying to get data into these software systems that we incorporate or buy here, and I'm not so sure we get the results out of that. We spent a lot of resources. I know we spent millions of dollars acquiring LIDAR, high-resolution aerial photography, and so I'm hopeful that we would be using that data, overlaying with GIS would seem to me to be the more reasonable, rational use of funds through geographic information systems, overlaying our high-quality photography with our land mass base of what we own as a borough, and then trying to net out the wetlands and those kinds of things and say, okay, these are good developable lands. Let's get on with the program. And you come to us to say we would like to look at reclassifying this land, marketing it. It's got roadside. It's got lake frontage. I mean, we have, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres that are just sitting dormant out there that we have to – that's what the intent was. Let's get it ready for sale. Let's find the good stuff. And I would hope we would employ some of this high technology we have, and I would rely on – the vetting of my colleague to my right, who is an expert in this field, of how we can utilize the technology to hone in and you know, get the job done without spending it on a consultant, without knowing what the answer is. Or that's, I guess, my concern. What's the delivery product, and what are we going to get, and when are we going to get it?
Like I said, the plan's about 75% done. With regard to the technology part, right now, so much of our work is it's research, pouring through files and papers, because we have nothing linked technology-wise. What we're going to do here is not hire a consultant. There's actually an in-house person that can come in and help us. Our first step, what we want to do, is link GIS with Govern. So when you click on a property, it'll bring down all the applicable records that are pertinent to that particular piece of property. Just in my department alone, I figure that'll save us maybe almost as much as a full FTE in a year just in research. So we're not going to get too far out ahead of ourselves initially here. Initially, all we want to do is link Govern with GIS so you can click on a parcel and it pulls up that information for you.
Just to follow follow-up. Where are we at with staff development? This stuff is highly technical, and it takes professional development. Are we training employees so that a lot of governments, everything's done on the GIS platform, all the permitting, mapping, the land base. Are we getting folks trained because that we need to? I mean, everybody should be moving that direction. How many people in your staff are schooled up on it, and how many more do you need to get professional development for?
Answer is yes and no. We have 100% more capability than what we had a year ago in-house, but we still have a long ways to go. We have a great deal of in-house training needs in terms of GIS, but again, we don't have the tools in place yet. We don't have any of our information in a format that's usable by land management. Govern, for example, is probably great for assessment, but it's not a good tool for land management. And so the best we can hope to do right now is tie our GIS in with the Govern. And we do have a long-range technology plan that we've been working with Shannon Bingham on. And it's something over the next several years I'd like to, you know, incrementally develop. So we have the in-house tools, and along with that we'll go the training. But right now, a lot of the training wouldn't do us much good because we don't have the tools.
Okay, well, maybe I would ask Steve a question because he's good at this. Do we need to collaborate with Govern and GIS, or should we just be operating on a land department in a GIS platform?
Mr. Colligan?
So I was next on the list to speak.
Okay.
So for the benefit of the assembly, like, and I had questions as well about what this is about, why this is before us, where are we going out to bid, not kind of understanding what the direction is. But in general, I think some guidelines and some directives were given last year to start integrating our silos of information. And in general, we have our GIS department that manages street center lines and addresses that drive our dispatch and other things for emergency services as well as other addressing functions. The parcel base, all the little polygons and stuff that we maintain, it's a constant maintenance effort just to keep that information as new subdivision splits and right-of-ways and other stuff. That's one session. But then we have these silos of databases out there that have all the attributes or intelligence that tie to all of those features. And we don't have all of those. And you can start tying them together, but if they're not accurate, you have this great-looking map. You get to use your phone and your iPad for this application. And what used to be, when I started school, garbage in, garbage out, is now GIGO, but it's garbage in, gospel out. You will misinform people. You will kill people if you're using it for navigation. So it's important that we maintain and know what those data sets are to get accurate information out. What I had directed or talked with GIS last year was, for instance, we knew where parcels are that private entities owned that we taxed. But if we didn't tax it, we didn't know who owned it. For us to have a relationship with the native corporations, all the other landholders, the state agencies, et cetera, we still don't know where that is in a related fashion to use some of these systems. So what you're describing to me is starting to tie together what is normally done in a project. It's like writing it on a piece of toilet paper, and when you're done, you throw it away, versus taking some steps to enter that into the data systems, tie those together where we have those maintained long-term, and we start maintaining it. So, you know, without belaboring this, I'm supportive of it, but I am a little struggling why this is before us, if it's internal resources and the like. For a $75,000 project that was funded, if you would answer for that for me, I think the rest is all good.
Again, we're, I don't know, 60 to 80% of the way through the project. We're not outsourcing this. We're doing it all internally. We needed to pay for some overtime to have somebody from another department to come over and give us a hand. And, again, we can't spend any of this money because we didn't have any scope of work. And so that's why this is before you tonight, is because we couldn't spend any of the $75,000 because we didn't have a clearly defined scope of work. With this, we have a scope of work. We can proceed. And again, Mr. Culver made a comment about we're not bringing any consultants on this. This is just to let us in-house finish the product that we've started. And part of that, only a little piece of that is tying the govern in with the GIS. That's just a small component, and we're probably talking, I don't know, spending less than $10,000 of the $75,000 budget to finish it.
So how much of that allocated is overtime or internal staff that we're already short on?
A big chunk of it.
So I guess personally I have a little bit of concern over that. There, what might have internal staff, I know we're short staff at the moment, versus getting somebody from the inside just to take care of it and our staff some growth.
In this particular issue, this particular staff member is probably the go-to person for govern in the entire borough.
Okay.
And that expertise is pretty critical for us to make that tie-in with GIS.
Assemblymember Halter.
Well, is this going to eventually turn out like a five-year timber sale where lands are identified? You know, you're trying to select land. I mean, what type of community involvement is there in the selection process besides us? Is that?
It's just borough. There's no widespread borough educational program as far as the selections we're making to put up for sale. If you want that to be a component of the going out to every community council throughout the borough, I suppose I could engage planning and we could...
Well, I think the community most impacted by wherever the sale is certainly should have some import. I mean, that's they're living right there.
The plan itself will have to go through, you know, when it's completed, we'll have to go through a pretty thorough public process at that point. So it's... There will be a
so you're three-quarters of the way done with this plan already?
As far as identifying what parcels need to be are available for sale and what parcels, we're also looking at what parcels we should be retaining for a public purpose, looking ahead,
right.
Things like schools and fire stations and things like that, using some of the work that Mr. Bingham did in his build-out analysis for us.
So it's safe to say which districts are all these selections in? Districts are these selections in predominantly?
It's throughout the borough.
Equal amounts?
I don't know how equal, but it's throughout. Our for example, there's going to be very little in the core because we have very little land remaining.
I understand
that.
The rest
is scattered out throughout the borough. There's lands north, south, east, and west. But it will be going before the public. We will have public hearing and the whole public process when we get all the lands identified, and then it will, you know, the assembly will have the authority to add what you want and pull what you want.
Okay, Assemblymember Solomon.
Mr. Mayor, I think we've gone really far afield from the innocuous nature of this resolution on the consent agenda. I would like to move the question.
The question's been called for. Is there objection to closing debate? No objection. So is there objection to the consent item? No objection. So moving on to Resolution 13112.
A resolution approving the financial responsibility for the MB Susitna for the October, November, and December December 2013. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, Mr. Manager. Manager requested a break, but we'll deal with this first. It won't take long. Assemblymember Keough, do you want to move this, please?
I move Resolution 13-112.
Do you want to speak to it?
I do, but I'd like to hear the manager's report first. I will, perhaps in the manager's report, he could answer a couple of questions that I have in particular. One is the status of the appraisal that we ordered last meeting. The current appraisal we have is for $67 million, which is far from the fair market value of the vessel. I'd also like to know what the anticipated insurance costs are. This resolution mentions the, 3-month costs for a wet layup plus to winterize it, some $58,000, but the insurance cost looks like the big ticket item. So if you could address those questions in your report, Mr. Manager.
Mr. Manager.
Just take the orders of questions. We have not put out for bid or quote yet the requested appraisal. That has not started yet. We have spent the time reducing the I'm going to call carrying costs. I think significantly we changed the amount of time we're going to be exercising the vessel, and also to change our security plan. On that, we were also able to get from where it's at, get a significant reduction from Ward Cove port where it's being held. As for the insurance, Tammy can address the actual numbers, but that has also been reduced from when we first started, also significantly.
Ms. Clayton.
Through the mayor to Assemblymember Keough, the insurance was approved in August. The amount was $160,000 for property for the year. This is effective 9/1, and just under $4,000 for pollution for the year. Also effective 9/1 for 1 year.
Thank you.
In addition, I do not have a solid offer of significant value tonight to bring to you to act upon. We are working at the sale issue. We completed the work with Cruise Marine. If it's a future decision to bring it up to Port McKenzie, we are prepared to do that, at least in phase one. We'll have to do some examination before we use that, and that is an RFP that is, proposal that's hanging out there that's not being enacted at this point in time. What else can I tell you about this? We have, through Mark Von Doggen, the port director, we have done some additional advertising. We have contacted additional agencies to see if it could be used. And one thing that's still out there is our Port Commission has asked us encouraged us to hire a second lobbyist to try to find a partner. I have not taken any action on that at this point in time.
Thank you. Question's been called for. Is there any objection to closing debate? There's no objection. Is there objection to the resolution? Okay. Use your buttons to vote.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Arvin opposed.
Okay. Seems like I've seen that vote before.
Did you want a break?
Okay, let's take a 5-minute break. Okay. Back to the consent agenda, resolution 13116. Wow, the mics are working now.
A resolution supporting funding for the Seward Meridian Parkway Phase 2 4-lane project from the Palmer Wesela Highway to the Selden Road, acknowledging that the borough will continue to own and maintain the upgraded highway upon completion of construction.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin, would you move that?
Mr. Mayor, I move resolution serial number 13-116, and I've got a question for staff, a little bit of a history lesson here I need to understand.
Okay.
The question is, we had an agreement with the state and to take over Seward Meridian, roll the roll that maintenance cost to all the RSAs borough-wide, and I remember Mr. Halter had a specific objection to that. This is going back a couple years. But that was an agreement that we made with the state, and there are those that say we have not followed through on that at the state level. And what is this? What is this? We want to tell them we want funding, and oh, by the way, we're going to continue to own and maintain it, but maybe we're really not going to. What can you help me out, Brad?
Sure. And I'm going to go back in his time just a little bit to give some basis for what I'm going to say. The Seward Meridian has always been a borough road. And years ago, the borough put in a nomination form to get Seward Meridian upgraded to a four-lane highway. And as part of that agreement, or part of that nomination form, there was a portion of it that said who will maintain and operate the road. And in that portion of the nomination, the borough wrote down that the borough would operate and maintain the road after the upgrade was made. Several years further down the line, we talked about other options to that because we knew that that was a big expense. So we kind of threw out the idea of maybe trading some local DOT roads for that work, and then DOT would take over Seward Meridian. Well, about a year ago, we talked about that, tried that. The RSAs didn't like it. John and I went to the big RSA board meeting, and they initially agreed to it and then later shot it down. So that only left us with the one option, which was to take back the road, operate it, and maintain it ourselves. And so that's what we did last winter on Phase 1, which goes between the Parks Highway and Palmer-Wasilla Highway. Now, this resolution applies to Phase 2, which is from the Palmer-Wasilla Highway north all the way to Selden. It would extend Seward Meridian on up to Selden, and that would also be a four-lane upgrade. It's in the DOT STIP, and for quite a few years, they had funding in there to go ahead and do the design work, do the right-of-way acquisition, and then go ahead and construct it. But when we faltered with the Phase 1 agreement, they pretty much put a hold on the Phase 2 and stopped work on it. And in fact, in the latest versions of the STIP, they've actually bumped the construction funding completely out of the picture, out beyond 2015. And when I contacted them and asked them how we could get that back, that upgrade back into the mix to get working on it again, they told me that the only solution that they knew of was to get a resolution from the Assembly saying that the Assembly supported the Phase 2 project and that we would operate and maintain it just like we are the Phase 1. So that's what this resolution is about. It's mainly just a statement from the borough asking them to move forward and bring the construction and the right-of-way funding back into the more recent time frame rather than bump it out into the future.
So if I could follow up, that's you said it much more clearly than I did. And there are some pieces of that I think are important. I'm glad you mentioned them. But if it's 2015 and we produce this resolution, are they going to bump it up to next year and fund it, and we're going to see it the next phase go out to bid, or are we still in limbo?
I think probably what you would see would be them moving some of the STIP funds back into the design and right-of-way acquisition phases. And it would probably take them a couple years to readjust the STIP to get the money back, or to get the construction funding back into the picture. But we would at least get the design and right-of-way started again.
Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Colligan.
I just want to concur with what Brad just said. I had the opportunity month and a half or so ago to talk to the DOT commissioner about some of our projects. And when we were wrestling through our conundrum of uncoordinated borough and DOT projects around some of our elementary schools, had this discussion, and they were looking for some direction and cooperation. And with a little bit of cooperation, we've gotten quite a bit done. It helped us get to our road bonds and other things. And I think this is just, I'll definitely affirm what Brad just said, is to be factual and good faith effort.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none. Passes. Thank you. Resolution 13-117.
A resolution opposing House Bill 77, which eliminates the ability of a person to obtain water reservations to protect salmon fisheries.
Assemblymember Woods, would you move that, please?
I move resolution serial number 13-117.
You want to speak to it?
Yes. I spoke with our Fish and Wildlife Commission, the borough's representatives there, and they said that this was a Senate bill so far that's been amended a couple of times and will be sent to the House at this next session, so it's still up in the air. We don't know what the results will be from this, so I am not going to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keogh. We have addressed this at least one other time, so please don't give us a complete rehearsal of it.
We've addressed this one other time, and I'll speak to it briefly again. This resolution opposes House Bill 77, which does one very simple and fundamental thing. It removes the most egregious part of this bill. It removes a single word, person, which is on page 406 of your packet. By doing so, it takes away the current existing rights of any individual, or as Ms. Harrison, as the executive director of the Chicklin Tribe, mentioned earlier, it takes away those rights, that right to apply for water in a stream for the purposes of maintaining water to enhance a fishery. It takes that away. Now, why would we want to do that? This borough has gone out of its way, this assembly has gone out of its way to protect and enhance fisheries in a variety of ways, whether it's improve our construction and design standards for culverts of anadromous streams, or for requesting and receiving expenditures from the state to enhance our salmon fisheries habitat, particularly in the Susitna Basin. So why would we want to support a state bill that would take away an individual or other entity's rights to protect fisheries and protect the water? We're not going to do it. We have the option as a local government to apply for in-stream flow reservations to say, hey, let's keep not all of it, just a little bit of water in the stream in perpetuity to ensure that we have healthy fish habitat. We're not going to do it. We can't afford it. Some individuals have come forward, and the Chicklin Tribe has come forward they've been involved in a project for over 10 years. They've rehabilitated the stream. We have a large salmon stock returning now. Now their long-standing efforts to acquire this right to keep a certain water in the stream would be stripped away from this. So all their data, all their information, all their efforts to protect fish and water in a stream that's a tributary of the Matanuska River, it just goes away. It evaporates. Does nothing. So it makes no sense for us to endorse such a House bill, and I think we should speak out in opposition to House Bill 77 and stop this extraordinarily bad piece of legislation.
Assemblymember Colligan.
I belong to several sportsmen's groups on boards and the like, and we've expended our efforts to challenge the things we didn't like about the bill rather than kill it altogether, and that is my position. I hear and feel what individual Native corporations' concerns are, and I think it's still being formed and discussed, but for this body to oppose it altogether, I guess I have some issues with that and will not be supporting it, but I will be down spending my time lobbying to get it changed, and so it's a little bit more meaningful and addresses the real concerns. But there's other aspects of the bill that I don't think it's all bad, so that's my position.
Thank you. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I guess Mr. Culligan's approach is workable. I guess I have a lot of problem with the riparian owner living on a stream or living on a water body that's kind of given up their absolute rights to government bodies to make a decision on something like that. I have a little trouble with that myself personally. I'd like to keep that ability of a riparian property owners to say something about streams and waters as directly they're directly using, and not just give it over to governments and things like that. That bothers me. So I'll just say that right now.
Once before we start a second round, Assemblymember Keogh.
Thank you. In light of Mr. Colligan's concerns, I move to amend this resolution to simply state, what do I want to state? I'm looking for the language that says opposing this bill simply based on the language found on 22 of the bill, which is mid-page, if you want to look at it, where it strikes a language or a person. So I guess I would like to amend this resolution opposing that portion of House Bill 77 that strikes or a person. If we do that, that would allow an individual or a tribe or anyone else to apply for an in-stream flow reservation and acquire that right. So that one single item of the entire bill, if that makes sense.
Could you give us a page number?
It is page 406 of the packet. It's mid-page under section 42 AS 46-15-145, the second line.
You really need to amend your resolution. That's what's on the floor, not the legislation.
We just have a very brief recess. Our expert attorney is crafting the perfect language to make my amendment make sense.
Okay, let's take two. Just a quick at ease. Don't anybody go anywhere. Okay, there's a motion to postpone time certain after the vacancy report. Is there objection to that? No objection. So, that brings us to new business introductions. Madam Clerk.
Got introduction for public hearing on November 5th, which is Ordinance Serial Number 13133 with accompanying Resolution 13118, Ordinance Serial Number 13134, Ordinance Serial Number 13135 with accompanying Resolution 13119, Ordinance Serial Number 13136 with accompanying Resolution 13120, Ordinance Serial Number 13137, Ordinance Serial Number 13138, Ordinance Serial Number 13139, Ordinance Serial Number 13140, Ordinance Serial Number 13141, Ordinance Serial Number 13142, Ordinance Serial Number 13143 with accompanying Resolution 13121, and for a public hearing on December 3rd, Ordinance Serial Number 13132.
Mr. Deputy Mayor, would you move those, please?
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for November 5th, 2013. And December 3rd, 2013, respectively.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that brings us to the vacancy report. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve your recommendations up for confirmation as follows. Board of Ethics, Ryan McClure. Emergency Medical Services Board, Brian Anderson. Enhanced 911 Advisory Board, resignation of Gene Belden. Health and Social Services Board, resignation of Dodd Shea. Meadow Lakes RSA number 27, resignation of Patty Weiniger.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, that brings us back to the consent agenda. Mr. Keogh, do you have language?
I do. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Attorney. So given the title of this resolution, it requires no change with my amendment. And my amendment is to strike the therefore be it resolved sentence at the bottom of page 3 or 4 of the resolution. That's page 412 of the packet, and replace it with therefore be it resolved the Matsu Borough Assembly opposes that portion of House Bill 77 which removes the words, quote, or a person, unquote, found on page 22 of the bill.
Okay. Clerk got it. Everybody got the point. Is there any further discussion? Assemblymember Culver.
Wouldn't it be more appropriate to amend the title that the Assembly recommends amendments to House Bill 77? If they just read the title and say opposing, they won't even get to the end of the... You're proposing an amendment, so you want to have your title reflect you would like to see change in the bill and a positive statement.
Yeah, you could do a secondary to accomplish that. Assemblymember Keogh.
No, I'm fine with the secondary amendment. And our ace attorney is crafting a new title for this resolution as we speak.
Oh, he's writing a new title as a secondary amendment.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Keogh.
So I will make a secondary amendment, if that's okay with Assemblymember Culver, to amend the title to leave it as is, but add the words, and encourages the legislature to amend the bill to retain the words, quote, or a person, unquote, which would make the title conform perfectly with a, therefore be it resolved at the end of the resolution.
Okay, we've got a secondary amendment. Is there discussion? Assemblymember Woods?
Yes, I object. For us to speak authoritatively to something that has yet to be discussed back and forth by the differences between the legislature houses in the Senate, I think is inappropriate, and until we get something definite that we can assert our positive or negative opinions of, I'm going to oppose this. Thank you.
Okay, there's objection on the secondary amendment, so please use your buttons on the new title. No.
Mr. Mayor, it fails with Assemblymember Keogh, Culver, and Arvin in support.
I've got a new title for it, Mr.
Mayor. Just a minute. Let her get the record.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, another secondary amendment. Okay, the motion is to replace opposing with amending. Okay, recommends amending. Okay, is there objection to that? Assemblymember Culligan?
Before we go down this long, sordid road again, I think I'll remind people that our own Fish and Game Advisory Board, this was taken to, and they decided to take no action and culminate their own responses individually about many other aspects about this, which are still percolating. And I will be voting no, but thank you very much.
Yeah, really, this is not addressing the whole bill. It is pertinent only to the one word, person. So there was objection, and Madam Clerk, if you quit throwing things around here.
I don't know what happened.
It made everything go black. So please use your voting machines to vote on the secondary amendment, the second secondary amendment, on the title, right?
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Solomon, Culligan, and Woods opposed.
Okay. And now we're to the primary amendment. Remind us what that is, Madam Clerk.
I would actually have to have Assemblymember Keogh read that back into the record, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
It was changing the now therefore be it resolved clause.
Right.
Correct. And it reads, therefore be it resolved, the Mat-Su Borough Assembly opposes that portion of House Bill 77, which removes the words, quote, or a person, unquote, found on page 22 of the bill.
Okay. And nobody else wants to speak to this. I would like to speak to it. It's precisely this word that would be problematic with the bill. I've been involved with water rights on Wolverine Creek. I collected data for 5 years, have had more than one water right on Wolverine Creek, and this all sounds good to have people, individuals, reserving water rights. This isn't for water use. This is for reservations. It all sounds good if you assume that Fish and Game and all the other agencies aren't looking out for that. But if you put that in the purview of any and every individual, you could totally tie up a water stream. And that's precisely the historic intent behind a lot of these applications. So, if this does pass, you're going to be dealing with a veto. Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, I would emphatically disagree with your assessment of what a water right is in the way of an in-stream flow reservation. An individual who makes an application for a reservation to acquire that sort of water right is no different than the individual who applies to take water out of a stream, a diversionary water right. And fundamentally, it's no different than someone who applies for a water right for groundwater from a domestic well for domestic water supply. It's very fundamental. So it's an individual's right currently under Alaska law to make an application for water to take it out of the stream for use or to leave it in the stream for other purposes. So I fail to see the difference. They both fall under prior appropriation doctrine, first in time, first in right. So it's not a problem. I think we're foolish not to include this because we're going to eventually harm our fisheries if we over-appropriate it by other water uses and not leave enough water in the stream. It's very simple.
I totally understand it, but you're operating under the assumption that all the agencies that are charged with this aren't going to do that. Assemblymember Solomon?
Is anybody going to change their mind by more talk, or can we vote on this?
I said my bit. I'm not saying any more. I've heard a call for the question. Is there objection to closing debate? There isn't. And there is objection. So please vote. Please use your primary buttons. Amendment. On the primary amendment. Adjournment.
Wait
a minute. Wait a minute. The secondary amendment passed.
The secondary amendment passed, so we're on the primary.
On the primary amendment.
We changed the now, therefore, be it resolved clause.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mr. Mayor, the primary amendment failed with Assemblymember Culver
Okay, we're now ready for the main motion as amended and unamended. So please vote. Okay, this brings us very close to the end. In fact, it brings us to comments. And we will begin with Mr. Manager. Do you have any comments?
Yes, I do. First, I would like to thank Assemblymember Keough and Assemblymember Woods for the opportunity to work at the borough. You are a part of the assembly team that hired me, and I certainly appreciated that opportunity and continue having an opportunity with all these fun challenges you constantly give me. I'd also like to say it's been a pleasure and honor to work for you and with you. You have made a large impact on our operations and the services to our citizens. And what I know deeply is you both care about the people you represent and the people you serve. I think that sets a good example. And finally, I'd like to also say thank you on the professionalism and courtesy in which you deal with the staff. I think that's very important. You have respect of the staff, and that is important for me as a manager. So thank you. Best of luck. I'm sure I'll be seeing lots of you, in the future as we kind of serve our public. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Clerk?
I would also like to, I don't know if it's congratulations on your last regular meeting or not, but I wanted to let you know that it was a pleasure working with you both, and I will miss talking to you, so hopefully you will stop by and maybe come to assembly meetings occasionally.
Mr. Spropoulos?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Assemblymember Woods, Assemblymember Keough, it's been a pleasure working with both of you. I've enjoyed our talks. My door is always open to both of you. Come by, say hi, see what's going on. I've appreciated your comments at the table. Both of you share a fine wit, a good sense of humor, and a good attitude, and I appreciate that. It's been great working with both of you. Thanks.
Thank you. Assemblymember Keough. Final comments.
I do have a few final comments. Don't take them too seriously, hopefully, but a few thank yous. And I will careful what you ask for, Mr. Attorney, and Mr. Manager, and others that I stop by and visit. Not a good idea. Anyway, but I'll save my thanks to administration, the manager and staff, and the clerk's office and the attorney for a little bit later. Mr. Woods and I continue to serve till midnight Sunday, so we're still officially here for a few more days. I have a few specific thank yous. First of all, Mr. Mayor, about 4 months ago, you inadvertently addressed Mr. Jim Sykes as Assemblymember Sykes, and I wanted to thank you for that because I don't think he had considered running for office until he heard you say that. He liked the sound of it, successfully ran for office, and now will join you in this assembly for the next 3 years, so thank you.
I guess it's all my fault.
You can. That's to your credit, sir. Assemblymember Arvin, I wanted to thank you for raising my awareness of several sections of borough code, particularly that part of the code requiring an assembly member's physical presence in the borough in order to properly govern. And I look forward to legislation I've heard you may bring forward to restrict the length of time assembly members may go missing in action. So I'll look forward to that. Assemblymember Colligan, I thank you for leading the charge to safeguard corporate interests by evaporating that section of the borough code addressing tall tower regulations shortly after you arrived. Fortunately for us all, your action resulted in a groundswell of public awareness about the many issues associated with tall telecommunication towers and the reestablishment of borough regulations. And by the way, I did receive a phone call this afternoon alerting me that there will be a 120-foot tall tower will soon be erected in your neighborhood that, when constructed, will undoubtedly enhance your Mountain View Vista and increase the value of your home. Mr. Culver, I want to thank you for making me aware of the various techniques an adept, seasoned politician can use to sometimes necessarily dodge those inevitable tough votes that all public elected officials must make from time to time, and I've asked the clerk to purchase you a super-duper supercharged cell phone when you teleconference in to a meeting to help ensure your calls don't get dropped seconds before a close vote on a contentious issue. Mr. Salmon, though we're frequently on different sides of the issue, I think we're always on different sides of the issue, but I appreciate the fact that in the last meeting or two, not this one, but you almost voted with me on a couple of contentious items. I mean, you nibbled, but you didn't quite do it. But I especially want to thank you for being a good side-by-side company the past 2 years, and especially of keeping me apprised of Detroit Tiger baseball scores. And I'm probably almost as happy as you that the Tigers, hopefully, even though they're behind in the pennant playoff, may have a crack at the World Series this year. So thanks. Mr. Halter, this is a kind of a swan song here. So anyway, I appreciate that we've often been on the same side of issues, unfortunately been on the same side of losing issues, and what better way to go out in style than to see our two names side by side in a losing effort. And unfortunately what happens is some of these more urban dwellers in the core areas of Palmer and Wasilla fail to grasp is the kind of the size and the diversity and the rural character of District 7, yours being the largest and mine on the eastern end of the borough being the second largest. It's a little bit different. We have a lot more streams, for instance, to deal with, so I appreciate and more intelligent as well. Thanks for mentioning that. I was getting to that, but And finally, Noel, we came in together 3 years ago, and we go out together tonight. And I've especially appreciated those times when you, but no others, joined me in the dissenting vote. And I respect and admire you for doing so. I appreciate that, and I also hope you didn't do it by mistake, but I think not. And so I appreciate you standing up when fellows on the left and the right of you voted otherwise, but I recall several times distinctly we were both on the right side of a losing issue, just you and I. So, and finally, Noel, I if you're ever inclined to do any, I know you're big into shooting, so if you ever want to bring your rifle to Chickaloon to do some long-distance target shooting and some fun competition, open sights only at 100 or 200 yards, you're welcome to come up anytime. But anyway, thank you, fellow assembly members. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll let Assembly Member Woods, do you want to make your final comments?
I will. I really appreciate the knowledge I've gained here about things. Being a contractor, had no former knowledge about, and the expert way in which all of us got together and determined the right way to do things. So I do really appreciate the new administration that we have under John Moosey and Assistant George Hayes and several new people coming in and take management and our success in economic development here to this state. I'm very pleased that it occurred in the 3 years up to this date, and it makes me happy that I'm leaving at a time when things are really coming along to develop our borough to actually a statewide economic development process. So I thank everybody, and it's been really pleasant and good to know you guys. So good evening.
Thank you. Assemblymember Colbert.
Well, this is kind of a hard act to follow, you guys. Very heartfelt. You'll be sorely missed because both of you kind of add a lot of different dimensions here. And, Warren, you're really going to be missed for kind of the stickler for the process. And you added a lot because you're always, you know, to the letter, to the rule. And you know, you finally voted for Hatcher Pass for a few times, so we were starting to make progress here. So anyway, you know, we got those libraries built and a lot done, and the rail's well underway. So yeah, things are we're pretty much on autopilot right now, I think. If we can just hold out and there's a little bit more state budget, we'll get that rail finished, Noel.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon.
Well, I am startled, actually, that the closeness and proximity that I came to feel for Assemblymember Keough from the time I first got elected to today. I will miss him, and I've tried to attribute how two people could be on opposing sides on votes so many times and yet have this kindliness towards each other. And I boiled it down to that I believe it's because we're both veterans, we're both Scorpions, and we're both Tiger fans. So this is a transcendent thing that is universal in its nature, but I truly have enjoyed sitting with you, Warren, and sharing different things, and I wish you luck. And of course, my friend Noel Woods, who I've known forever, his integrity and commitment to this borough and to life in general is second to none. You'll be greatly missed, sir. But I know you won't quit. And for me, I'm a little sentimental because I had an issue over the last month that probably is what's got me a little choked up. But I'll let that pass, and thank you all, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you. Assemblymember Culligan. Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I will miss you, Noel. You're just a confident person, gentleman, and I really appreciate having a chance to serve on an assembly with you. I think I learned a lot and a good guiding light. And Warren, you're just a tough, gutsy guy that stuck to your guns. I really appreciate that. It was just amazing to watch your research and how much energy and stuff you put into it. I was really shocked when I heard you weren't running for re-election because I was hoping you would. And so we'll miss you, and do come visit us. And so that's all I have to say, but I'll miss both of you. I think the Assembly did a lot of good things. We got the road bonds going. We got the school bonds going. We passed this roads to schools bond that came through under with you guys. And so things are moving, so appreciate that. So thank you.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to reserve my comments for Warren and Noel here for a minute. I do have a couple issues that happened tonight that are troublesome to me. Well, one in particular, but first, on the unpaved low-volume roads program, unless I'm misreading what I understood tonight, it's to bring what is existing up to a different level while not having to follow the road construction manual. And I think that's a good thing. It's not to diminish what the standards are for the new road. So I think we should embrace that and help to foster a way to do that, and while still focusing on the new roads meeting a certain standard that's expected, so we don't have this problem carrying on in the future. Secondarily, I was horrified, and I'm so glad that that guy left, because I was going to have trouble saying this with him here. How degrading and embarrassing that somebody has to come in front of the public in that manner and talk about their personal tax issue and their personal life experiences. We have got to figure out a way that that can be addressed, not in the public forum. When we talk about executive session, it has to do with the character of an individual and diminishing their reputation And, you know, I don't know if that's an executive session thing. I know this body has to take it up. But I felt horrible for that man tonight. And I don't think we should do that again. I think we need to come up with something to change that. So I'm gonna try to sit down with Tammy and the manager and Nick and see if there's something we can do so people don't have to do that. That was just horrible. So those are my two comments. On a lighter note, Noel, I enjoyed serving with you on the assembly. You know, I first got to know you before I was appointed to the Port Commission about 15 years ago. And I've always appreciated your input and your adult leadership and the history that you know about this place and what that means for to you. And I've appreciated interacting with you. And I look forward to breaking bread with you from time to time at certain functions that happen around the valley. I look forward to seeing you again real soon. And Warren, I am vindicated tonight. I have been saying for some time that you actually had a sense of humor, and you do. And I'm glad that you put that forward tonight. I appreciated your comments. Yeah. Although tonight, you know, I was going to comment earlier, we voted the same way on a couple things early on. Hasn't been often, but truly, I will tell you this truly from my heart. I know that you're a man of conviction. And you have certain principles, and you never faltered on them. You never wavered on them. And that is a measuring stick for a man, in my opinion, and I appreciate you for that. Although we didn't agree, but nevertheless, I truly feel that about you, and I thank you for that. And I wish you well. That's it.
Thank you. The clerk dutifully and appropriately reminded me that there was one item on the agenda we never finished, and that was our referral. So yeah. Before I make my comments, I would like the clerk to read it into the record.
This is referral to the Planning Commission for 90 days, Ordinance 0 number 13144, an ordinance amending MSB 17.63, racetrack regulations.
Assemblymember Solomon, would you move that, please?
I closed my agenda here.
You don't need to move it?
Mr. Mayor, you could ask if there's any objection to referring it to the Planning Commission for 90 days.
Is there any objection to referring this? There isn't any, so thank you. I've got the clerk off my back. Well, in my comments, again, would like to thank the outgoing assembly members. It's a big sacrifice in your life to spend these evenings like this. But I've got to say, you're going out with a lot fresher air than you came in with. It's nice to be able to be sitting here this hour with as many bodies as were in here and still be breathing fresh air. That's very noticeable. I appreciate it. Assemblymember Warren, honestly, I am not the kind of person that doesn't mind hearing counterpoints, and sometimes you woke me up to a line of thinking I didn't know existed, and I appreciated that. I think it's healthy for the public process and the debate, and you didn't seem too bashful about being a lone duck sometimes. And appreciate it. And like I mentioned earlier, I appreciate your thoroughness and your preparedness at these meetings. Assemblymember Woods, the life going on is like it has been, it won't be the last time we're working together. We started in this building back in the 50s when you were teaching shooting. It wasn't in this building, but it was over in the rec. We used to call it the rec hall. It's what, under Rusty's place now, but that's where we did our target practicing. And, we sat together on the Planning Commission, years ago. And now we've been together around this table. So thanks for your service. And, you know, might not see a lot of you, but if history is anything, I know we'll see Jean. She's not going to let us get by with anything. So expect to see her at least once in a while. I do appreciate the light and the fresh air in this building. It really helps stay awake, and it helps think better. And I agree with the deputy mayor. I have no regrets at supporting a new approach for low-volume roads. I'm totally dismayed that that our major board doesn't buy into it. But as long as the road service areas involved are willing to experiment more with this model, I'm totally supportive. And over time, Assemblymember Halter.
Well, I'm pretty supportive of that concept. The problem is it's got to lead to certification. So certification allows them to get maintenance, because these are the same people that are paying the road service area taxes. And if it's a lesser standard, I think that's what the big road boards are saying. We come at the lesser standards, and they don't get maintenance. And then it's I just want those standards to pencil out, I guess is where I'm at.
Right, and nobody's asking for maintenance on the model project that he started with, and the projects he brought forward tonight were on roads that are being maintained, and they're inside the road, so it's a new way to approach upgrading those roads. I think we should be open to those things if they work, and over time, by the time it takes government to make adjustments, we'll know if they work, because it'll be a long time down the road. But I don't think in the meantime we should stop experimenting with it, because different soils and different conditions may not all be conducive to that. Well, thank you for your time, and if there's no objection, we will adjourn.